So Joe Bosé, Brad Hunt, Phil Hall, Barry Clarkson of the board are physically present, and the rest are on the teleconferencing. And so let's see. That's the roll call. I'll say a little prayer, and we'll get right into the meeting minutes thing. So I'll say a little prayer now if you'll all join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the beauties of this earth and for our opportunities to serve as board members. We ask Thee to bless those and all discussion this day that we might be enlightened as to things that might be a benefit to us all and to our ranch members, and that we might have our minds clear. And these things we ask in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to move right then to the discussion of the composition of the meeting minutes. Oh, here's Mariah.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mariah. We got a chair for you right over here.
Oh, thank you. Here's our meeting minutes.
You don't need to call the police, okay?
Hang on, everybody.
Good morning.
Just watch your head there, Mariah.
Go ahead and read that.
We don't usually have a dining room table over here. Okay, so we'll keep moving on here. Discussion of the composition of the meeting minutes. From time to time, as I've been a board member, this has been a concern and on both sides. So, some people want more of an outline. Some people want extensive word for word, almost like dictation of the minutes. Others, majority want something in between. And so, and in this case, it kind of came to a head when Jody wanted to add clarification to, or not clarification, but just to record in the written minutes what was said in the oral minutes on our recording. And so you may have seen her text. She has outlined in blue. Geez, where did I put my copy? Anybody got a copy of that here?
Probably.
Well, anyway, Jody added and rechecked the recording and claims to have only written what was said, and she did exclude, I think that's on the screen right now. See if it's a minutes from Jody.
I have it right
here. Or I might have printed it, and it's in the printer, and I just left it there.
I have it here if you'd like.
Okay, I'm going to see if, I think I printed up enough copies for everybody here to have one. I think I just left it in the printer. Hang on a second, everybody. Is there just that one copy?
Yeah.
Let me see it. No, that's not it. Let me come and just hit click. I'll come and click on it. You can watch it print them out and bring it to us.
We waved to you.
Every time we passed this house on that road, we waved to them. So we never see them wave back.
We always look over.
Is that going on?
You were probably in refuse when you drove along.
Yeah, we probably were.
Oh, they're out of money. Duh. She's printing up copies. I'll look at it, Barry, if you want to see it. So what she, you might.
Yeah, I might look at it.
Okay. So I don't want us to get spend a whole lot of time on this today. I think I'm gonna say what I think, and then we'll open it to discussion with the rest of the board members, and then we'll take resolutions and vote. I think it's a onerous task, a lot of work for the secretary, because I did it for a couple of years. Candy's done it for Joe and others, and it takes a lot of time, and you have to go back and listen to those recordings. Now, it used to be we didn't have the recordings, and you were scrambling to take as many notes as you could, and so there was more. At that time, when we didn't have the recordings, there was more discussion. I didn't say that, or I said that, or yay or nay. But now with the recording, we can go back and verify for sure what was said. I feel like we certainly ought to have any resolutions and or votes that were taken. I think we should have at least a brief description of any conversations about a particular matter. And I think Jeff has come pretty close to that kind of a job. And I commend Jeff for his efforts, because I feel for him, because I know it's a tough job. I didn't like it when I was secretary. But I think then when we get the copies of the minutes to read and proof, if any board member feels like their area was underreported, rather than telling Jeff and making him go back and do it, if they want to take the time and do it and go back and add and then propose that to the board, like Jody has, and she claims that she listened to the minutes and did not add or subtract anything that wasn't in there. And then if other board members want to challenge that, they can listen to the minute, the recording. But so I think for Jeff's job, we need to have an accurate description of how we went through our agenda, how we what we discussed, and if there were resolutions or not made. And any of the background of the discussions, and can't be, if a particular board member or somebody had that discussion, that they want to make sure that that's in the written minutes, I think they should have the right to do that. And then it's up to us to, we can challenge what they say, we can go back and read the or listen to the recording if we want. And that's the only thing at first that could cause more work on each of us, our parts, but we're putting the burden on the board member that discussed more at length that and wanted that in the minutes. Am I making myself clear to everybody? Cody, if that's you talking, all we're hearing is a real squeaky wheel.
Yeah, I know I'm a squeaky wheel, but no, that wasn't me. That was just something happening over the line, apparently. Can you hear me okay as I'm speaking now?
Yes, we can. We can.
Okay, that was just something. Okay.
Okay, you are mainly the one that kind of pushed us into talking about this. How do you feel about what I proposed?
Well, I agree, Phil, and I also think that when it comes to items that need a decision that are based on things that happened at the meeting or happened that we weren't recorded on the meeting, if this is something that the membership is going to have to make a decision on later, they should have all the background needed to know why this came to the forefront, to know why we're progressing in the way or proceeding in the way that we're doing. Well, I agree 100%.
All right. My feeling is that Jeff ought to make a good attempt at summarizing, but I don't think we need to do a word for word thing. Unless a board member wants that. Hold one second. Any other discussion from board members?
I think that the board meeting minutes should be restricted to what decisions are made and kept in summary form. But that's just my opinion. So.
But are you opposed to if a board member wants to delineate their particular portion or a portion?
Yeah, I don't think that lengthy discussion belongs in the meeting minutes, even if a board member is willing to type it out. So that's my feeling.
Okay, we've heard various from Brad.
I think that because recorded minutes are available for everybody, so if somebody's vested in an issue or a problem, they can search recorded minutes. Get every single word from every single person that was at the meeting, and they can invest the time, just like everybody else who's here at this meeting today is investing in time to find out and keep in touch with the ranch. But the written minutes, anybody, if I was looking into the ranch as an investor, if I was looking into the ranch as a possible new owner, that's something that I would go to. And if there's a whole lot of turmoil and politics involved in our minutes that people are looking up, I don't think that's a good show for Deer Springs Ranch overall.
Okay. So your opinion is that can't be detrimental. We're putting all of our dirty laundry out there for everybody to read, even though they can, of course, listen to us.
Yeah, I think everybody has a right to know anything they want to know about what's going on in the ranch. It should be. I think we provide that with our recorded minutes, although you have to put some investment in order to get. Otherwise, maybe I have a really good point, and I'm not willing to write everything down and amend the minutes and send it in. And it's the opposite point of the point was brought up, and just not the place for dialing back on discussion, I don't think.
Here we have a member who would like to.
I want to say, as a member, I would just rather read the minutes than listen to the minutes. I like to go back and forth. I'd rather see everything that is there. I didn't think that maybe I missed it. I have to go back and listen to it. Everything that's available to me, and I think that I'm not being provided some information, no matter what it is, because I had to.
Okay. So if in the minutes, in the minutes, put a lengthy discussion was on matter for details. Okay, go.
I've got two concerns about that. I prefer to read it also because when I read, and I don't know the pieces that I like. Sure, I didn't read it wrong. Rather than listening to an audio, then I can't go back and find it. And I have to waste hours looking for it. And number two, the audio at some of these squawk boxes we got here, half the stuff can't be heard sometimes. And I go, what was said? I don't even know. I hear peacocks. I hear trucks. I hear everything else. So I'm leery of how much a person can get off of that. And also, I've gone over many, many minutes over the years. And there's so many minutes that are unapproved because of this same reason. We leave something out, so therefore it doesn't get passed. So unapproved minutes are in there. You can't hear the audio, but you're not getting the whole story. I mean, if it's on the audio, it's valid. We're not hiding anything. We're not making anything that it isn't. So I'm in favor of if a board member wants something in, it should be there. I'd rather read it than misunderstand it on an audio that I can't understand. Doesn't know his background.
That's why I think, in general, I agree with Brad and Barry as far as keeping them complete and generally sound. But then I put the onus on it. I think the board member who was making that discussion or leading that discussion or who had input and wants their voice written, I think they should have the opportunity to, as long as they don't interject more interpretation or as long as they don't subtract detail,
if they want to open it up and provide all the detail on that particular discussion, then I think they can, I think they should have the opportunity to do that, but on their own time and effort. And then it does place a little bit of responsibility on us if we want to challenge it. So anyway, that's how I feel. So,
hey,
is there any more discussion on the matter? Yes,
I would like to say something.
Sure.
Go ahead, Jeff. You have priority, but I'll go after you.
Well, my feeling is that the minute should reflect an unbiased record of what happened at the meeting. So it should record there was a discussion of such and such, a motion was taken, this was the result of the vote. If there needs to be additional information added, I have no problem with a secondary addendum being added, but the minutes themselves, as they're recorded, should be approved by the board members. And then if the board member decides, I'd like to have this added to the record, it can be added as an addendum to the minutes, and we should, again, as the board, be able to say yes or no, we agree with that or not. But the minutes themselves.
I think you're talking about Jeff, I think you're talking about two different things. An addendum for clarification is one thing, but what was actually said is another. Can you see the difference there?
Be a word for word. I don't believe the minutes should reflect. He said, she said, it should be an unbiased accounting of what happened. Now, the detail, if the board member decides I'd like to have more detail about that discussion so that it's on the record, I have no problem adding that as an addendum to the minutes.
Why do you want to add it as an addendum and not in the body?
Because I don't believe the body of the minutes is a place where we should have, you know, he said this, she said that, and it just gets so tied up with opinions. The minutes should be an unbiased account of this was a discussion, this was the vote. If there needs to be more clarification or more detail, there are, you know, I just don't think it should be in the body of the minutes because the minutes can be 50 pages.
Okay, I see what you mean by addendum, and I personally can live with that as long as a board member has the ability to request that and or produce it. Any other discussion?
Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, Vance.
Oh, yes, Vance, sorry.
Yeah, well, we were actually, Jeff took the words right out of my mouth. If you look at the archive minutes, you'll see that in 2014 we were doing just that. We had three addenda that year. Little bit of history. One thing that really concerns me is the endless revision process. Do you remember how bad that used to be in like early
2004s?
That we should not get started on that road. We need to get the basics up with, you know, procedural things, votes and references to XYZ issue was brought up. We have a summary of the discussion and then reference the audio. For full discussion, please see the audio. Now, for those of you who don't like paging through the audio, if we have basic minutes or up, you use those as an index to find it in the audio. Okay, when you know what the flow of the meeting was, because of the minutes, the basic minutes we've got, you can find stuff. Now, this is just me talking. You can find stuff fairly quickly. So, really, we really don't want to go back to those bad old days of, well, I don't like what I said. I want to revise the minutes and blah, blah, blah. That we had minutes that were like 6 months overdue because of that nonsense. And I do not want to go back there. I'm all in favor of a business-like set of basic minutes that people can use as an index into the audio, addenda, which you guys can then incorporate at the next meeting. You either you vote on the addenda or you do it online or whatever you do, they can become part of the official record, but they don't have you don't have to rewrite the minutes. Every time you rewrite the minutes, you guys got to reapprove them. Okay? So that's my 2 cents.
And I think the rub still is what is a general description of the conversation. So, Jody, do you have anything more you want to say?
Yeah, I just don't agree with the leaving it in the audio and calling it good. There's just, I've spent hours doing that. Vance, you're really quick at finding things, but I've spent hours going through recordings in the past. And it, not only is it a major pain in the butt, you can't hear it. You kind of, even when I'm trying to do word for word in 2014 and 15, you can't hear it. You can't pick out the words. You don't know exactly what was said. And at that time, some of those things were critical. We know that we had to find out, you know, what exactly happened there. So I still think that if it's something that happened during the meeting and it pertains clearly to the topic that they're discussing, and it's not he said, she said, which is not the case here in the November minutes, it's a summary of what happened. I think for the members' benefit and for our benefit of being able to read it and access it quickly, it needs to be in the body. I don't care if it's an amendment or not. That's fine, but it needs to be written. And as a member of the board and me requesting that it be on record, I think I have that right to request it to be on record.
Okay.
She referred to November. It's actually February we're talking about.
I'm on the wrong month. Sorry. I'm going back last year.
So Phil, compromise. Here's perhaps a compromise I thought of that you may or may not like. I would say in the interim, when Jeff first sends out the minutes, if at that point in time you want to go back and listen and or produce what like Jody did, then that can be added if the board, particular board member, said in the written. But if at the, and so that, if it's done before the meeting, everybody has a chance to read that, check it if they want to or not. Then I would say that could be added. Or I don't mind the addendum idea. It could still be put as the addendum and then added there. If somebody wants to make a correction to, well, that's not really what I meant, I might have said that, it truly would have to be an agenda that we could make it any time, like Dan was saying, the chat meeting or the next or the next. So, Brad,
Jeff, you could also, if there's a topic that comes up that has a lot of discussion and any kind of emotion or differences in the board, couldn't we denote the minute that took place and as a reference, and so somebody could speedily go right back to that minute on the audio and listen to the conversation that happened?
Sure, that's not a problem. But my biggest concern is right now we have 3 months that are outstanding. I revised October's in the November meeting. Then I revised November's, sent them out, and then I did February's, and none of them have been approved. We were down to the October, just needed to have John Harris's approval. But as soon as someone says, oh, I want to add this, then all the votes that were done electronically via email are null and void, because now the minutes have changed, and we all have to get together and read them again and say yes or no. So my point is, if we send out the minutes, if I send the minutes out to the board electronically, we should be able to, and we agreed upon this earlier, that within a 2-week period, we have a chance to revise them, agree on it, approve them, and then post them so that the members can see what actually happened. Dragging it out from month to month to month is just causing everybody to get frustrated. But if we could approve the minutes, and then if there's an addendum that needs to be added, we add it to that record of the minutes.
I concur, and I feel your pain.
But I think also that there was a little misunderstanding in our last board meetings for those months, November, October, whatever. We said, if Jeff, you'll make these, we will approve these minutes with these corrections made by Jeff. And so I felt that we had approved them.
Yeah.
But they were simple changes back in those particular things. But anyway, let's not worry on what's happened in the past. In a minute here, we'll vote then to accept all of those past minutes. And so I'm looking for a proposal. We can have discussion on the proposal for how the minutes are made. And I think Jody is the most all-inclusive one. I think Barry has the most business public experience kind of thing. I think Joe has concerns over the availability that sometimes have recordings, which we don't. I think Brad's for getting the job done here and basically feels like Barry. I feel in between Barry and Jody, and that's kind of where I think, as I assess it, am I assessing all of you a little bit right?
I think so.
So how to make a good melding of those opinions that we can live with. Well, I didn't talk about Jeff. Jeff thinks they should be pretty just outlined, and I think that's good as long as we can do addendums and things.
Well, I can make a motion.
Okay, Barry's going to make a motion.
I move that we have basic outlined meeting minutes that allow for indication when a discussion was happened in the meeting without a great deal of detail, but that we allow any board member who has the need or desire to add additional detail related to the specific discussion in the form of an addendum, that we allow that to be attached to or made part of the meeting minutes as an addendum.
Is there any discussion on that proposal?
My problem here too is if there's something that's in the minutes that's a game changer and stipulates something very clearly, I think it should be in. Period.
They would be in. That's according to Barry.
Well, that's not the way I understood it.
Tell him how they would be in. They would be in by virtue of the addendum, right?
Well, the only game changers that should be game changers are things that are brought forward, as we discussed in our last meeting, in the form of a motion and a decision by the board. I don't feel that discussion of the of particular items and expression of opinions on different things, and where we're trying to discuss and sort of negotiate with each other to try to get a consensus, I don't think that belongs in the main body of the meeting minutes. If someone feels that it should be included, it should be included as an addendum so that it's not so that those who just want to breeze through and see what happened basically and what decisions were made in the meeting, that's something that they would note that there's an addendum related to a particular topic. So the game changers in my view, which may be different than Joe's, is that what we decide on, the ultimate motions and decisions that are made, those are binding on the company. Discussion, as with court cases, there's lots of discussion things, but if they don't end up being in a determined in a formal meeting or in a formal decision, they are just that, discussion. And we can look back and meet the minutes for years and years and see that certain discussions happen over and over again, and that's the way it's going to be. But until they've come to the point where they're a decision, then I don't think that they belong in the main body of the meeting minutes.
But if so, like you said, you feel like if somebody was involved in a discussion, or like Jody feels strongly that maybe not enough summary was included, or that she wants to make sure that this was written, that you don't mind, and that's in agreement with your proposal, that they be added as an addendum.
Yes, yeah, I understand the concern with being able to hear the meeting minutes. I will point out that the that the written meeting minutes come from the audio of the meeting. There's not all the detail there. So I don't know that we solve things, and I don't want to force people to go back and have to try to find out where in the 4-hour meeting to find a particular topic. So I think that the discussion, and I hadn't thought of it before, but if we have an addendum added on a particular topic, then it's there. People can research and view it if they want. It's in written form. It's on the burden of the person who feels that that's important to put it together. I think that's a great compromise in that it doesn't overly complicate or muddy the waters as far as the formal meeting minutes. Doesn't put extra pressure on the secretary, whoever that is, but still allows for it to be put forth in written form so that it's documented.
Okay, unless there's more further discussion by the board, I think Mariah has comment, but then I will be looking for a second to the motion. Mariah?
The only thought I had was just to add the great idea of the marking of the minutes, at what point the discussion was had. I think that would be very helpful if that was somewhere, maybe even in the body of the minutes. This topic was discussed. Here's the meeting mark and the minute marker. Here's the topic, minute marker. That was my only other suggestion.
So do we have a way of knowing our minutes?
We don't. I don't know.
So that would happen after I create the minutes, where I'm listening to the minutes, and if there's a discussion that starts at a certain point, I can say, okay, at 1 hour and 33 minutes into the meeting recording, this is where it started.
Well, if you're willing to do that, I think that would be a great thing for ease for people to find it. Any further discussion on the motion?
Yes, I would like to change the motion up a little bit. I'm like the idea.
Wait a second, Joy. If there's not a second, then you can make a new motion. So
okay,
we can discuss the motion right now.
I second the motion.
Second, then we'll vote it. Who seconded? Jeff?
Jeff,
okay, Jeff seconds the motion. And so we'll now take a vote. All in favor of the motion that Barry gave us?
Aye.
Say aye.
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 Let's see. So we have three. We have Jeff and John. So we have four. So the motion carries. So that the motion carries. Now, Jody, if you have a, you want, well, the motion carries. I would suggest that you can have some discussion now post motion carrying if you want, or make a new motion, but not on this particular.
Actually, I just wanted to add some verbiage to his motion. That's what I was intending to do. So is that past time now?
I think you should, we're a family, so I think you should tell us what you're thinking.
Okay. Well, I like how that was worded. The only thing is that I would like to change up is if the board member present involved in that topic wants it on the record, I will have, or that person would have the right to add it into the regular minutes, like what you said earlier. I take it back. Here's what I want to be stated on the minutes in the record. And then anything else, like if it was the detailed talk about which Utah code, blah, 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 yeah, put that in the addendum. That's okay. But if the board member specifically wants it part of the record and they get it to the secretary and they do the legwork and they listen to the audio and they put in there what was said, no commentary, just what was said, then it should be allowed. So whatever that motion would be. Going along with Barry's motion, but just as that as an insert.
Holy cow.
I think that's a little contrary. That's a little contrary to Barry's motion in that that puts the onus on the secretary to have to prove up what the board member writes. And but that's not their main thing. It's the fact that in general, I think we can all give Jeff guidance if he's not keeping them complete enough. But correct me, Barry, I think that would be contrary to your...
Yeah, I think what I want, I would, what my motion contemplated was any of those additional facts discussion would belong in the addendum, not even if the, you know, I didn't intend, nor do I want the board member to be able to say, no, I really insist that this be in the board, in the body of the minutes. That's understandably a little bit of a gray area because, as Phil said, we all have a little bit of input in saying, Jeff, that's, you know, you need to, we need a little more detail or a little less detail on the meeting minutes. We want to make sure that whoever the secretary is, we have complete minutes and that we have some input. But obviously, we're going to ultimately approve them or not approve them. But I would anticipate that the discussion portion of it be left in an addendum rather than the body of the minutes.
I think that's what the majority approved, Jody. So I think you still have a mechanism to get your stuff in there, but if you want. But I think it would be an addendum. You still love us?
Okay. I don't agree. Are we going to vote on that? Or oh, we already did. We took the vote. Okay.
No, the voting's over.
Yeah, we want
okay.
to vote name by name.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is that what she wants is what would be part of the original approval for that meeting. That's what I'm hearing.
She also mentioned changing how I really want that this or something. So. Okay, let's move on to item number two.
I got one question.
Yeah.
Are every board member's vote on these issues, are they recorded in our written minute?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Okay, and Jeff, you have who voted for what here, right? Jeff? He might have taken off yet. Okay, so I'm gonna make a motion that in summary, as Jeff updated, made those few minor changes for October, November, and
January.
I don't think we had a meeting in January, did we?
No, January was canceled.
So October and November, anyway. Let's talk about October and November. That I make the motion that we approve those minutes as amended by Jeff. All in favor? Or is there
all second?
Okay, it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Just Jeff, we think you're not there. Is that correct? Or are you there? Okay. Now,
we've got recording.
Okay. So as pertaining to the February minutes, at this point we can hold, Jody presented her stuff before we had this amendment made. Does anybody object to the way Jody added those to the February minutes?
I do.
Okay, Barry does. You would rather be made an addendum?
Yeah, I would. If you're ready for a motion, then I would move that we approve the meeting minutes for February 2017 meeting with the change that the additions by Jody be taken from the body of the meeting minutes and added to an addendum.
Okay.
Before we go any further, Kelly's a stenographer. She can finish taking minutes if you want. Also, I have to think if we wanted to.
I'm not doing it in shorthand, but I could probably get most of whatever you've got to say down.
Just based on the approval we have, we just need basically an outline of what the discussions were. We've got the audio recording, so we'll have that.
And the addendum is any deep discussion about it, leave that in a separate spot.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So Barry made a motion then that that we put Joni's changes into the as an addendum, but they'd be attached to the body, but as an addendum.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Well, I had more than one correction or addition to the minutes. One of them was on the financial report. Are you suggesting we move that to the addendum as well?
I would agree with you, Jody, that it should be in the body on this particular thing. So Barry has made a motion, but I would, how do you
call
that? I'd like to question the motion.
Let me rephrase the motion. I move that we approve the February board meeting minutes as have been presented, and it, with the exception of the discussion of the bylaw change to remove a director or directors, that portion of the discussion added by Jody should be in an addendum. I'm okay with the discussion of the finances related to cabins and other changes that Jody inserted. So that's my
okay.
Motion.
That seems like a fair compromise to me. Any other discussion?
I have a question. This is John.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
the addendum that we're going to put in for Jody there, will that be with the body, with the rest of the meetings there, or is it going to be sidelined someplace?
No, it'll be right, you'll have the minutes, and right at the very end after the last paragraph, they'll be right there.
Okay, I think that'd be cool, because if anything, that might draw attention to it if somebody's interested. Okay, that's my.
And in the body where it says discussion ensued, see addenda. A discussion ensued concerning the bylaws and proposed changes, see addenda.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Oh, no, it won't be lost. It'll all be there. It's just in just a little different format. Okay, then I will second that amended.
Sir?
You're not a board member.
I was speaking when John Harris was.
Huh?
Okay, I'll let it go.
Okay. This is a vote from the board members now. So I would second Barry's motion.
Just call for vote.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, there are four votes in favor. All not in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Joe and Jody. Okay. All right. So now we're caught up on approving of minutes, I do believe. Our next item is financial report from Jody and a follow-up assignment on her looking at bylaw changes and transferring the funds to the savings account as per the last meetings. So go ahead, Jody.
Jody, are you there?
Sorry, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go right into the financials here. You've all got to have a copy of the 2017 profit and loss budget versus actual.
17.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so I just want to point out that you see that we've exceeded 81% of the assessments in which we are supposed to receive this year. So we're already over 109,000. That's a good thing. You'll also notice on page 2, if this is the same page setup that you guys have that I have, how Mariah has broken down the cabins into furnishings, maintenance, and propane. That'll help us keep track of what goes in. Mariah, I sent you a separate email about changing a number on the propane, because right now, as it is, we're $800 over budget. So we'll readjust that. And, of course, it'll change monthly seasonally as we add propane to the cabins. But you'll get that in a separate email. We'll have that change for the next meeting. But you'll see how we're going to be able to itemize the expenses here. That's awesome. Not much is happening in the rest of the P&L because we only had 3 months. We haven't had ranch managers till now. And so welcome, Rick and Kelly. Moving on, you'll see the 2016 profit and loss. That has been adjusted to show the purchase of the backhoe under an asset purchase, and that will show up on the balance sheet. That's not in here right now. Mariah is working with Niall to produce an accurate balance sheet since we start the new books, so that's a work in progress. Currently, we have about $1,400 in the ranch manager's account. We've had no transactions since December. We have the $17,488 in savings. Now, during our last meeting, it was determined that we would roll over the unused funds from our 2016 budget and put them into the savings account. We initially wanted to roll over, I think it was $17,500 or something like that, and we voted on an amount. But after the meeting, Mariah found there was a higher number of members that prepaid the assessments in 2016, so we moved them into the 2017 budget, ending up rolling over the $15,075 into our savings account. Do y'all see that?
Okay, so we're seeing, going to see that on the 2016 profit loss?
Well, no, I'm sorry. You won't see that on there where it was, well, let me see, where it was rolled over, but no, that's what happened. And you'll see the backhoe under the balance sheet when he gets that put together.
All right. So where do you see these money that's put into a savings account?
In the savings account.
But, I mean, as we take it out of, like, at the end
it'll
of the year.
In the balance sheet.
In the balance sheet. Okay. I'm good, then.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. And hopefully with Niall redoing the balance sheet, and I've talked to him about it before, and he thinks he can pull together an accurate one, because I know it's been really off for years. But hopefully we'll get a better picture of the balance sheet when he gives us accurate numbers and we can start fresh with that. And Mariah, you have any input on the financials? That's all I had.
No, I'm really excited about its format. I think it's quite readable. I think it's easy to follow and track. I think as far as budgeting items, I think it's there again. It coincides with that really well. I'm really happy with the way.
So we've listed each cabin. So we're going to know what we're spending for furnishings, maintenance, or propane in each and every cabin then. I think that's great.
And with that being said, Phil, the supplies is not in there because there's no way to really itemize which supplies went in. It would just be a nightmare. But we still have our supply, cabin supply category and consumables on page 3 on top there. And that will be something, you know, they're just going to come in on receipts. It'll be split between the cabins that are used the most. And we'll know those numbers as the year goes through and more cabins are booked.
Well, great, Mariah and Jody. I'd like to compliment you on this, getting this set up for a new future in our accounting accountability. Anything else, Jody, that you want to bring up?
No, that was all I had.
Okay. Do you want me to talk about the bylaw stuff that's under your
sure,
name?
Sure,
but
well, yeah, no, because it was. It was passed to you, so go ahead.
Okay. All right, then I'll discuss. As you know, last time, Barry enlightened us a little bit on what his feelings were as far as voting and quorums and et cetera. We had a proposal to change the bylaws, and we got into quite a discussion about proxy votes and whether they were just for voting or a general proxy, and Van sent us some emails. He thought we ought to go back to that question first, and then about the great concern of a influential member or a group being able to vote off the board at any one time. At the time, I didn't think the proposal I had made was quite well written enough or accurate enough or would serve the purpose. And in listening to Barry's counsel, I accepted that. And it's not that I am changing my mind here, other than the fact that I think Joe Bose brought this to all. To our attention or my attention, what the Utah code is on directors. And it's,
16-6A-808, all pertaining to the removal of directors. And I think I gave a copy to each one of you. Did I? Do you have a copy?
Is it in this stack?
No. Let's see.
No,
I didn't see it.
Okay, let me make sure I find that for you because I think it's important you have one of those in your hands.
It's over here.
Skip this one. Oh, I have them all right in front of me. I was seeing this staple and I think I've got sidetracked. There you go. There you go, Mariah.
Thank you.
There one. And go, you have one. Okay. So as I read through this, it seemed to me that this would be overall a good substitute, a more modern substitute that was effective, brought before the Utah legislature in just in May of 2015. So it's fairly recent. And, Barry, I'd like you to take a minute and tell us, you know, when the state comes up with codes, I think they're, when there's a push or shove thing with an association, what's the purpose of the state doing this and how does it affect us?
Typically the state comes up with rules that apply if there are no rules to the contrary. Sometimes then they'll say, regardless of what your bylaws say or don't say, then this is a rule. Most times then they say, these, if there are no bylaws to the contrary or operating agreements to the contrary, then these are the rules. So,
Let me point out what he's talking about. I think it's a good example. And number 1A, it says the voting members may remove one or more directors elected by them with or without cause unless the bylaws provide that the directors may be removed only for cause. So it doesn't change the basic what's happening, but for cause or not. So
right.
They add a clarification saying, you know, your bylaws can
say if your bylaws say that the removal can only be for cause, then it's only for cause. They're not overriding that, but they're saying if it doesn't speak to the matter, then a director can be removed with or without cause.
Since John, I don't think you have a copy of this in front of you. Do you, Jody?
No, I don't.
I think then it's only a few paragraphs. I think I'll read it in its entirety out loud to you then. And this is 16-6A-808, removal of directors. So it was what I had made a feeble attempt to clarify our existing bylaws. And but when Joe pointed this out to me, it felt good to me that this could be a proposal that would be in keeping with state law and would update our current bylaws. So I'm going to read it. Directors elected by voting members or directors. Okay, so removal of directors. Directors elected by voting members or directors may be removed as provided in subsections 1A through F. And that's what I'm going to read right now. A, the voting members may remove one or more directors elected by them with or without cause unless the bylaws provide that directors may be removed only for cause. B, if a director is elected by a voting group, only that group may participate in the vote to remove that director. That kind of clarifies what group we're talking about, or the quorum thing, or the group of the
membership. Absolutely. In our case, then the voting group is the membership, and so only the membership can remove a director.
So I like that. C, unless otherwise provided in the bylaws, a director may be removed. I, when the director is elected by the voting members, only if a majority of the voting members vote or to remove the director. So that's specific. That was a concern we all had. II, when the director is elected by a voting group, only if a majority of the voting group votes to remove the director. I'm not sure I understand the difference between the two.
What it is there's some situations where you have various classes of stock. You may have, like a lot of subdivisions have, the declarant or the original developer has Class A stock, and so they get to vote. a certain number way, and then there's B. So what this really means, in our case, where there's not two classes of stock, it basically is irrelevant. So okay. All of the votes that we take are by membership, and everybody has an equal vote. So
the two I's don't count here, then.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. The vote, every time it says voting group, just insert membership.
D. A director elected by voting members may be removed by the voting members only at a meeting called for the purpose of removing that director, and if the meeting notice states that the purpose or one of the purposes of the meeting is removal of the director. So it has to be a specific meeting called for that.
Or
with other things. But it has to be notice has to be given, in other words, right? Okay, E, and so we could still have an annual meeting, but it could, if it had a specific thing that said,
well, our annual meeting
or a board meeting.
Our annual meeting notice says for the purpose of electing directors.
Right.
That basically covers it.
But there are members that directors that aren't being voted on that year, carrying over. And so if somebody, that's the part I don't get, how you propose or the proposal is accepted or whatnot. But I think it says that later on here. Okay, so it has to be the purpose of the meeting. Okay, E, an entire board of directors may be removed under subsection A through D. That's what we've just read. F, except as provided in subsections 1, F, double I, a director elected by the board of directors may be removed with or without cause by vote of the majority of the directors then in office or such greater number as is set forth in the bylaws. In other words, if we had a board member who resigned and we appointed another person in his stead to fill out his 2 years or whatever, it says that board could, if that person wasn't producing, turn around and remove him. Is that correct?
That's what it seems to be saying.
Okay. So the entire membership can vote on those that have been voted in, but if the board selects a replacement and he's just not proven to be right, they can remove him. Okay, we're down to F. Where did I read that? I read that. Okay, number two, or I, double I, a director elected by the board of directors to fill the vacancy of a director elected by the voting members may be removed without cause by the voting members, but not the board of directors. Okay. G, a director who is removed pursuant to this section may deliver to the division for filing a statement to that effect pursuant to this section. I think that solves, in my opinion, that solves a lot of our differing views or questions. There's still, it doesn't talk about proxy or any of that. That's a whole other issue.
Yep.
So as far as the removal of officers, I want to just state that I feel, in a minute, I intend to make a proposal that we accept this to replace what's in our rules. But I feel good about that, and so I'm opening it up to discussion at this time by the board. Any discussion?
I'm in favor of it. It's more clarification than the one we have, and the one we have could be interpreted two or three different ways. So I say we make it, this is a state law. We're not favoring anybody. It's not political. It makes it equal for everybody. I think we ought to go with the state's regulations and get ours off the books.
Because ours seem to give, we worry about the interpretation somewhat of ours right now.
Well, I think from my perspective, I'd like to have an opportunity. This is the first time that we've talked about this, and I'd like to have the opportunity to look into it a little bit. I don't know that it can be adopted, or either it's binding, which I can't tell from here without looking at the entire code. Either it's already binding on the corporation, which means we don't have to adopt anything. It already is the rule, whether we like it or not.
Okay.
Or if we're saying we want to change and replace our bylaws with what says here, then that requires to change the bylaws. I think
right.
Either way, I'm not sure. I guess we could vote as to whether we as the board propose to send this to the members to make it a bylaw amendment. I'm just not sure exactly what you're looking at voting on, and I'd like to double check and see if this is already binding on the corporation, and if, and we're not grandfathered in because we existed long before this did, which may be. Then I'd just like to look into that, and if it's already binding, then there's no reason to take a vote. It's already the rule. That makes sense.
Would it supersede? Because I worry about this one. Unless you know this one clause, unless the bylaws provide that. Whatever.
Well, that only appears to apply to whether you can remove board members with or without cause. But like I said, this is the first time I looked at it. I like to look into it a little bit further before I have to vote one way or the other myself. So,
yes, Joe.
And in-
I read. Go ahead,
Jody.
Okay, so yeah, I like what I heard there a lot. I think it eliminates. A lot of the interpretation confusion on our current bylaw. And just from talking to Bruce in the past about how bylaws work versus how, like our bylaws versus state code from, and I've talked to, those other people. What are those people called, Joe? Those, they help you understand bylaws. I forget what they're called. Anyway, the general opinion that I've heard back from them is that if something's in our bylaws and it's written a certain way, our bylaws hold precedence over state code. Unless our bylaws don't address that issue, and then it reverts back to the power of the state bylaws being the state code being the one that would take effect. So keeping ours in place would still, from what I understand from before, from discussions with Bruce and the other legal people, it would still, our bylaws would still hold precedence unless if something came up that we didn't have covered in our bylaws. So I think that's what you read there, and I don't have a copy of it here, Phil, but I think that really is a good thing. And that would solve all the issues.
I don't think we have any, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead, comment. The only reason I suggested this with, I read a lot of, I must have read about 30 or 35 different lawsuits in Utah about people saying the HOA is the winner and the state's the winner, and it goes either direction, either way, if there's any stipulation. And in a lot of cases, it just didn't refer to the clause of removing it. Also, it entertained other areas. So my concern was if there's a confusion about how we read this, because Group A can read it this way and ours, and Group B can read it this way, and then there's no, the ombudsman doesn't want to kick in. They don't give enough advice to help us. Where the stage, to me, is a lot clearer is the way it has to be handled. So all I'm saying is if there's a dispute with ours and we can't determine who's right, who's wrong, let's say we refer back to the state as being the winner in this, and we go by their guidelines because it favors nobody. It's not political.
Okay, I think I'd like to, like I say, I don't think 1 month or 2 months or 3 months here is going to make a big difference. And if an attorney like Barry suggests that he'd like to understand it better,
I'd like to wait for his answer, yes.
Yes, I would like to defer to Barry's his expertise and let him do just that, and maybe advise us next month on that.
Yeah, we're looking at one piece of the puzzle, which clarifies certain things, but I just want to make sure and see the bigger piece so that I'm fully aware of what we're buying on into before I move forward or before I'm comfortable voting one way or the other.
So I would like to not make a proposal. I don't think we need to make a proposal, but I think just a straw poll kind of vote. If everybody feels good, if anybody doesn't feel good about it, voice your opinion. But I would like to suggest that we have Barry report to us next month on this very issue and give us a little more background. Does everybody feel all right about that?
Yes.
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 Yes. Jody, John? Okay, let's do it that way. Okay. Very good. Okay, so we've covered those two things. I would like to perhaps move B to A and A to B on this number, item 4 legal team. We've got Brad. I want you to introduce on the record and to all of us here our ranch manager family and then because I don't think these kids need to sit here for hours on end. They can go out and play. I think what's up to their parents, but they can stay here if they want or. But I want to take the moment right now to welcome them. Brad, you do that part.
We officially want to welcome our new ranch managers to their very first board meeting. Rick and Kelly Garrett and their family. And Rick, would you introduce your family to everyone?
My wife's name is Kelly. And my oldest son is Manasseh, Japheth, and then Grace.
Welcome to Deer Springs Ranch. We're glad to have you aboard.
Thank you.
So there's going to be some topics that we'll be discussing with them.
Yes.
Is this the time or are we?
Perhaps we could move that up. I think we surely could. And then they're welcome to stay for the rest if they want. But in consideration of the kids here.
Do you have your first official ranch managed or Deer Springs report?
I know that... Rick has got some information and a proposal to us about the, the washroom, the laundry room status, and perhaps a few ideas now that he's been back at the ranch house of what he wants to do. We need to discuss if we want to make purchase of the pre-made laundry room or not, or what kind of budget we want to hear his suggestions and come up with an expenditure amount that he can work within. So that's the general thing of what we're going to try to accomplish in the next few minutes. So, Rick, why don't you go ahead then?
The suggestion for the laundry room, is that where you want to start?
Sure.
My suggestion is a pre-made building by Cumberland Buildings, roughly the cost of a 10 by 20, either a deluxe loft barn cabin or just a loft barn cabin. They're pre-made, pre-made windows, doors, everything's done except for the inside, which is going to take insulation and wiring and whatever we want on the walls, which is probably... Being the cabin decor, we'd probably go with a rusty hardwood or something like that, which would be pretty inexpensive. I think we have a mill not too far from where we're at there down at Fredonia. I think we could accommodate that. This building here would save us a lot of time and effort. They said that they could build it within 3 or 4 weeks. The plan of that is if we could go ahead and appropriate the funds for that, we could go ahead and order it and have it ready for somewhere in April, because roughly give me a week or so to finish it out and everything. So that way that's done and finished long before May, and we can get all that switched out, because the other building is just trash. I mean, it's just toasted, and it's time to remove it, I would suggest.
So what is the cost of those two buildings that you're...
The deluxe loft barn cabin runs $7,135, roughly probably $1,000 if you budget that to redo the inside of either one. The other loft barn cabin is a little less expensive. It's $63,906.04.
Same size?
Yes.
And the difference that makes it deluxe is?
Can you
the headroom. Yeah.
So you guys want to look at these? I've got the two marked.
What's the difference between deluxe and the regular loft barn?
The deluxe has a lot more storage space in the headroom.
In the loft.
In the loft area.
So is that
we could use.
In the loft?
Yeah, it's an extent. It's higher on the walls. So you guys can take a look at that.
The one on the right's the Lilux one, right?
Or this one. Yeah, this one on the right is the Lilux.
Do you have another one of those? Not with you. But I need one for a different purpose, completely unrelated.
Sure.
He likes the idea.
Well, I've looked at these locks before as far as mini cabins and those kind of things. So I like the idea.
As Rick and I talked about container in the past, but by the time we referred and covered all of that,
it's less expensive to do that. I can tell you as a contractor, it is less expensive to do that than to put that container in there at the same cost and then working with the metal and everything like that, and then having to recover it with trusses and remetal it and do all that when that is pre-made and for the what we are using it for, it's basically ideal because they'll just come and unload it, it's done, and then we can finish it and hook it up.
Talk to us about the foundation for it, because we have concerns about water in the past in that area, flooding or water, right?
On that hillside.
Coming down.
Well, it's already up on skids, so you're talking at least 6 inches probably up. And if you go down there and you put a flat spot and you put an inch and a half, 2 inch rock down there and then skid it off on it and set it down on top of there, it should be just fine right there. And if you have any water issues coming off that hill, then you can always put a stone berm on the backside of that or something that would divert any type of water or anything. But I think that right close to where the old one is would probably be sufficient place, because it would be very convenient for us to operate out of. And the electric and the water wouldn't be all that far to move. So,
would we do that, or would we put in concrete piers underneath it just to have an extra maybe 12 inches of crawl space underneath there? Just to make sure that no matter what pulls
up. You can pour it on a pad if you wanted to. I mean, to make it.
We're kind of wanting, we're all scared about the water situation. Go ahead and tell them about your past experience.
Water drained off that hill right down to the back of the barn and all of that.
Which I think we should change the drainage.
Yeah, it needs to be redirected.
I think, for me, just looking at it and having several years of experience in construction, I just think you need to, if you have a landfill and you have and as much rock as I've seen around there, you just need to use your rock and divert your stuff appropriately. And I think it would really benefit you, you know, in a lot of areas. You just kind of got to, I noticed that on the Deer Springs Ranch Road, you know, that their ditches and stuff, they're not properly, you know, rocked and stuff, you know. But that, I just think that if, you know, use some of the assets that you have there, which would be cost effective.
My point, you know, to redirect all of that so that the water doesn't come down that hill. Because right now it does. A lot of water comes down that hill right behind the barn and
I haven't stepped foot in that area, but I would say if you would just redirect and cut some ditches or else and put some rock in there that cut that download, you know what I'm saying? Because it obviously comes off there, hits that one road from the ranch houses there and then plummets down. My question is how long does that last, though? I mean,
hey, Phil.
September.
Phil stepped out real quick, Vance.
Yeah. Rick, go ahead.
Oh, we're waiting for you.
Okay. Welcome to the ranch, everybody. Are you talking about putting this thing in the place of that crummy old linen shed that we already got? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, putting it in place of the cow palace. Okay.
And are you talking about getting electric and putting the washer dryer in there?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you going to drain it to?
It's gray water, so you could probably just drain
it. No. Not near the parking lot. Not near the parking lot. No way, no how. That stuff, that gray water from the laundry stinks.
I agree. I agree. We got to look at the plumbing issue. I think it's already plumbed right there. There's some.
I got it.
I think there's a.
Hold on. The septic tank.
Sorry, Ben.
Septic tank that the store drains into is your closest bet, but it will require digging across the parking lot. All right. Just keep it in mind. You know, I didn't hear it mentioned, but it needs to be factored in. Okay. Also,
when we talked about originally doing a container, we were going to put it out behind the ranch house. That would probably be an easier fit as far as connecting plumbing and that kind of stuff.
If it's just a washout.
And if you want to drain, gray water out into that area,
but I agree we got to deal with figuring out the plumbing, and that's why we've got Rick here to take care of and figure out the easiest way to make those connections.
So we could put it out there, or we could have put it behind, but might take a little more study to. So probably we should decide if we're going to buy this thing or not, and then have him go to town on.
Input.
It's going to go in the sewer stuff and all this stuff.
We can move it. We'll bring their laundry. Have to bring it back.
Fix the
input, please.
Laundry in this thing right now.
Right.
We do have to have someplace that's presentable for and drop off their laundry and the store laundry. And
anybody know off the top of their head? Anybody put in a septic system lately?
I have.
How much does it run?
I would say you could be looking at, ours was a very large system, so I think it would not be unreasonable to say somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 probably for that size of the tank.
Three to five is what an aerator
is. A lot of it's expensive doing the thing, so if we're digging it ourselves, and they have those snap-in drain fields and stuff that Bob Edmond used out on his place when he built it.
I'm just wondering if it's less. There's less of a problem to put in a septic system right there where the building's permanently going to go or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
This suggestion might fly over yet or not, but what about utilizing that gray water?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a desert. You know, I mean, do you need that for your cattle, for any of that field or anything? Because
I'm not going to be able to drink soap water or anything, but the
field. No, I'm not talking about making it into a pond. I'm talking about using it in the, you know, if you need to...
For irrigation
type of thing.
Is it that
during those months where it's pretty dry, I'm just suggesting that I don't care what you do, to be honest with you.
I know there's plumbing there.
But if you want to put in the plumbing, that's fine. Let's do that.
Plumbing
already. You know, gray water is usable, that's all I'm saying, versus expensive.
Well, I think to move the discussion along, I would be in favor of purchasing one of these cabins, and obviously we'll have to work out the details. And we would, whether it's a container or whether it's a cabin, we still have the same issues and the same expenses. And the question is, I would probably prefer to go with one of these cabins than a container and then have to deal with it and have to make it look pretty where this would fit in sooner rather than later. So,
and if we do put a septic tank system in, we could also put it in for an RV.
Well, and that's another thing we got to look at anyway. So.
I originally was leaning toward the container, but the reason was they priced us way more money originally than we're having to pay now for $7,000. Bam, we have a, they can bring it in, set it down, the shelves in, and people can bring in and drop off laundry there. Whether or not that's, you know, right exactly where we're going to have it, but.
Well, we're going to have to figure out location, some of those things.
Exactly.
But we're going to have to do something one way or the other, and whether it's placing a container or placing this, I think we need to move forward on cleaning some of these areas up and also having a facility that will work long term.
Here's the – I haven't went through the logistics of the plumbing of the buildings and stuff. I don't know what's exactly – and you guys obviously do. But the one we installed it at our lodge, you know, it had – triple access to it. So I could use it for my guest house and use it for our house. And then if we wanted to redo our barn, we could plumb into it. What I'm saying is, I mean, is there a local spot you could use it for more than one asset? I mean, is
you understand what I'm saying? If we're looking for an RV, possibility for an RD.
In that case, then you'd want to do it down for like where the basketball court is. That'd be easy access for members, and then next door you could have an RV and do a septic system right there behind or something like that.
So for the purposes of moving the meeting along, I think I would like to make this proposal that we I'll propose that we purchase the Lux. I think storage is always a premium, so I would suggest we purchase the deluxe cabin that he's proposing there, and that we task Rick to, you know, we'll have Brent back soon. He knows a lot about all the plumbing, that between everybody giving you input, that this will give you time to work on that, and that we communicate back and forth as to the exact location and what all we can use it for. Other purposes for, but for now,
I have a question when you finish that.
Now let's get the thing built. So that's okay. Yes, there's a question on the motion then, John, or is this?
I just had a question. I've been listening to this and I've been wanting to kind of butt in, but it's been going back and forth. On this shed, I'll have to say that I'm in favor of a shed rather than full of container personally. How much laundry are we going to do there? I know that Nancy had to take one. We have a huge amount of laundry that we've had to take to town and do because of the big machines and all the sheets and all that stuff there. Are we thinking we're going to be able to do all of that laundry that we normally had to take to town here in this? And if so, we're going to have a lot of water, and we would definitely have to have a system, a septic, I would think. And I know that a septic tank, a septic system's right around 6,000. I paid over 5,500 for mine a few years ago.
Okay, John, that's another item. I think we are going on the assumption we're going to do our laundry there. So really, right now we just want to talk about buying this particular shed or not, and then we will talk about those other logistic things. Okay.
Input.
Okay.
Input.
Okay, Phil? is this a question on the motion?
No, Phil, can you hear me?
Yes, is this a question on the motion? You see, or is this discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Well.
John's was not.
The motion was for the deluxe loft. All I want to do before we make that motion, and I was trying to get into it, and I couldn't get in there in the discussion, is I love the idea and the look of the deluxe loft. However, we should think about longevity on what we put there. Where the wood, you know, we have termites and you know we have rodents that are going to get in. Whereas I know the containers are ugly, but at least they're mouse proof and termite proof. If we do go to the deluxe loft wood, I still think it needs to be on a cement slab and maybe some cement board around the bottom to keep the rodents out, because the rodents are horrible down at the headquarters because we have the trash trailer, everything else that's down there. And I hate to see us spend the money putting this in only to have it, you know, we get 20 good years of it, then we have to replace it again. We're containers kind of forever. That's my input.
Okay, I'll withdraw my motion and we'll go back to an open discussion on the container or the shed, and I will make a motion that we purchase the shed. Is there any? And so Jody has raised discussion. John has some discussion. Do I have a second on purchasing the shed?
I'll second it.
Wait a minute. My motion was no. My motion was selecting a shed over a container. I need a second on that, and then we'll move to the next one.
I'll second the motion if I understand correctly, your motion is to choose the shed rather than a container.
Right.
I second that motion.
All right. All in favor? So now discussion on the motion. We had Jody raise the concerns about insects and rodents, et cetera. So let's discuss Jody's and John's input here. I feel like if you have a container and you put wood all around it, you're going to have the same problem.
Except the mice can't get in.
Yes.
They can't get it. They can't get in if the container is always closed and sealed, but it's not going to be closed and sealed. It's going to be open access to people and other things. So I don't know that you're going to have the much different. I don't have a lot of experience with either one, I will admit, but where you're going to have the doors open, people in and out, I think you're going to have to deal with.
We have getting into ours all the time.
No. Yeah, I've got experience with both these things now. I leave my container door open a lot of the days down there, and that's fine. I never come in and find a rodent in it. It's at nighttime where you're going to have that issue. If you leave it open at nighttime, yeah, you're going to get rodents in there. But for daytime, I've had no issues with rodents getting in. And being on a cement side, if we did get the wood building, if we did the cement board, that would help keep those rodents out. But it's a big concern. I'll tell you, all the cabins have mice in them, and all the buildings have mice in them. There's no getting around that if they're wood. That's all I'm saying. I don't care either way which way we go on it. I'm just saying it's going to be a problem.
I have an input.
Okay, John.
Okay. On the rodent thing there, I know Jody said she hadn't had any during the day, but I have to say that I have a container up there. It's a food storage container. And I've literally gone into that thing many times, just for a couple of minutes and left the door open, and a stinking mouse got in there, and I discovered that from the glue trap the next day. So they won't get in a container if you open it for even a little while. So anyway, so I lean towards the pre-built one personally. That's it. That's all I have.
Joe, I've got two storage containers, and I'm here to tell you, I'd be working out in front of mine doing the job, and my wife will be sitting there talking to me, and she'll say, Joe, the squirrel just went in the shed in the storage container. So it doesn't take but about a half a minute. Squirrels go in and out of there all the time. I keep mine closed 98% of the time for that reason, because I don't want to lock one in when I'm gone for 2 weeks. But you got to be careful with that. But as far as the shed, I'm in favor of the shed as long as, like my cabin, I drop concrete wallboard all the way around it. I've had my cabin up there for 24 years now, and there's never been a mouse in it. Period.
They can't breathe that high.
They can't breathe that high. So I think we're okay with the shed as long as we put concrete wallboard around it.
And
then the mice can't go through that, and above that we can see where they're eating and we can stop them.
And this thing is newer construction than the old cabins that were drugged down from Bryce Canyon that we use. So I think Rick knows how to make these things tight, and it costs less, so I'm in favor of the cabin thing. Input from a member.
I just have a question about the exterior maintenance, the frequency of paint or oil or, how
it would be the same if we skinned a container or had this, I think.
But I think every 3 or 4 years you have to put some new coating on the outside.
We originally thought we would get a container and then side it to make it look like the cabin. Now we can just get the container in there or get the cabin in there and boom, and then it's done. And the cost is way cheaper, so.
Okay, so any more discussion on another member?
And this is all within our budget and able to do this?
Yes, well, using the funds that we have in our savings account.
Okay, and does that also cover what we want to do for the slab or pilasters or however you want to put it in? I mean, is that part of what we're estimating the total cost?
He estimated it to be about $1,000 to do the interior. Even if the cabin or the thing is 7,000, 6,000?
Yeah.
If it's 7,000, we put another 1,500 into the dressing of the inside. We've got up to 8,500 if we do foundation stuff or rock, we might be another 1,500.
We've already got the rock.
Yeah.
You know, so
we do. So I think we're well under the 10,000. We have up to 15. Not that we want to spend. We want a dump truck too. But I think we're covered as far as our budget amount.
Yeah.
We have to think also wood and budget and stuff for the ranch house. So just so you know, we're working on what we're able to maintain from last year, about $15,000. We do have other budgeted money for maintenance and whatnot, but that's our little cash cow for right now.
So with this new shed, Rick, does it come all ready to go and last, or do we have to go out there and actually finish the exterior for
it's finished
oil?
Right there.
It is finished.
Except for the inside. I mean, you're going to put insulation and you know, hardwood and stuff, and put your shelves in there and your little laundry room area and stuff. One question I do want to know is because that gentleman, I think John mentioned about doing the laundry and stuff, the capacity of the washer.
Yeah.
The capacity of the washer, because I peeked in and seen the washer. I didn't know if you guys.
There might be some more expenditure.
But even if we have to do the laundry the same way we've always done it, we still need a new shed.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. Well, I motion
we can upgrade the washer next year.
I agree with that.
Okay, so did I have a second on my motion before?
Yeah,
I
second. Very second.
So if there's no further discussion, we'll have a vote on the motion. Any more discussion?
I just wanted to add one more thing to the talk. I know you've said that we'll get to the latter details, but in my mind, I'm calculating all the costs. As a member, I would be concerned if it's sitting on gravel. I know at Utah Code, we've got to be 6 inches above the dirt level. Perhaps gravel would do that, but I worry about it sitting on gravel and perhaps what with all of that air circulation underneath. So I would like to see it on pylons. As I add up this cost, and I'm looking that we could potentially spend $15,000 creating what we're discussing here. I just think that ought to be part of the thought.
I think we're still well under 10, but
with the washers, with the dryer, and with pylons and cement board and everything, we could, and a new septic system, we could potentially fill that.
That part's true. So we might not get our dump truck this year. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, from the calculations I did real quick, we'd be down to like $4,400.
Okay.
Even if we did operate the ranch this year the same as we operated last year, at least we have a nice shed for everybody to bring their laundry
right
into. Well, instead of the shameful conditions that exist in that, you know, it's a rundown shed and it's old. It's time to change.
Historic.
Okay. We got to keep this meeting moving along. Are we ready for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Jody?
Mr. President?
Aye.
Do you want me to take lunch orders? You want to take a break and do that? Or do you want to wait till you're done?
Okay, the motion passes, and what she's asking is we have other guests and people here, and we didn't feel like we could steal away from them our pizza ovens and all that kitchen stuff out there. So she's got, do you have a menu printed out?
It wouldn't, and their line is busy, so all I can do is just get off.
So she's suggesting that anybody wants, she will go to the Honolulu Grill and get, get some food if you want to each dip you up, or she can tell you about what it costs. And I don't know that we want to do that now, and I don't know how many want to eat lunch now, but I think we'd probably keep going at least probably till 1 before we worried about it.
Okay, so I'm not
going to
worry about it.
Okay.
Jody, did you cast a vote on the shed?
I don't think she did.
Jody, did you vote on the shed?
No, I have not voted on the shed. I would, I don't know.
Are you?
I'm mixed on this because I'm mixed on it because of the expense of it. So I should probably abstain. I'm just mixed on the cost. It's going to eat up most of our savings.
Jody abstains. All right, the motion passes. Let's go. Go ahead, Jody. We're going to go back to the agenda unless you want to make a comment.
No, I was just wondering, I know the containers are ugly and everything, but should we not get a cost analysis at least to see where we're at? But, you know, it's okay. If we decide that this is where we're going to spend our savings this year, then so be it. That's where it goes. I just want to make sure I agree with what Mariah said. We are taking away most of the funds from our savings, and if that's what needs to happen this year, okay, we do it. But we just need to make sure we understand that.
Yeah, we do. I do. You guys do? Yeah, we do, Jody.
Yeah, I'm good with it, Jody.
Okay, then
so
I vote yes.
First, we just say okay. So what? You're going to vote yay then?
Yeah, as long as everybody understood that, that's fine. I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. I'll turn some time over to Barry now for this next. Let's see. We talked about everything we need to with. Our new ranch manager.
Oh, no. Now we need to talk about the ranch house.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to hear from Rick now a little bit on what we need to do for the ranch house. And, Jody, can you give us input on, just in a regular way, what do we have budgeted for maintenance on cabins or headquarters?
Well, headquarters we have.
May or may not. With.
Headquarters we have budgeted $2,500. Cabin maintenance furnishing supplies is a whole different category, and that belongs to the cabins.
Okay, so we're starting off with at least $2,500, and anything else we can either move over from another category or
manager salary category that we could shift money over because we haven't been paying one.
And we have some manager salary that we haven't been paying out. Now you told us in that fund we have, what, $1,500 or so?
In what fund?
Well,
for the manager salary?
In our overall budget, yeah, we have manager salary, which we haven't used until now, the month of March.
Right, so we have 2 months of that, so.
Which would be.
Why, help me out there.
Yeah, sorry.
That's 3,200 right there?
Roughly, including December, too.
But December, didn't we already pull that out and put it in savings?
Yeah. We've already rolled that over.
Okay, so we have about so
do you have a cost estimate of what
so,
this is going to cost?
So, hold on 1 second. Let's figure out what we got to spend, too. So, okay, so are we talking 2,000 or 3,000 on?
We'd be talking closer to 3,000.
Okay, 3,000 there, 1,500, well. 2,500, 3,000. So we have at least 5,500 before we move any other things around. I just wanted to clarify what we have, and now we'll listen to Rick as to what our dream would be or what we would like to have, and we'll discuss how to obtain it. So Rick, go ahead.
As far as the ranch house goes, it needs a major cosmetic redo.
Probably functional, too. I think we all agree on that with you. And so tell us what you would like to make you more comfortable and have it functional and presentable and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we'd like to go in and put some type of hardwood floor in all the way throughout. We're trying to stay with the barn cabin. Rustic theme. I thought about using mill lumber from the Fredonia.
Fredonia.
Yeah.
Fredonia. If that's feasible, but I haven't had time to check into that because we just moved in yesterday. But we want to texture the ceilings and the walls and repaint the place, repaint it. And then, of course, I want to do something. Just unique for the whole aesthetics of the places. Put a mantle in the fireplace, stone fireplace area, in for that little heater in there. So that way, it looks nice, you know. Which the stone is going to be nothing because I'm sure we can get it from the quarry, you know, sizable stuff. I didn't know if I'd be pushing it, but I'd like to redo that kitchen. This just really old and kind of rundown. I didn't know if anybody, if that would blow the budget or not. I figured, you know, a decent cabinet kitchen, you know, it's going to run probably a couple thousand by the time you replace the cabinets and countertops. And I think the sink and stuff is fine probably. That'd save a couple $100 there. But we'd also like, me and Kelly's been discussing opening up between the first bedroom on the left and the living room on the little living room where the stove's at there on the right, and opening that up, making that a functional dining room type of thing. So that way you can just kind of get more room in there, more open it up. But then, of course, then that's going to take away one of our bedrooms, but we haven't exactly discussed how we're going to functionate the kids yet. But that's kind of the plans we have for the ranch house there. We want to put in a door. We're either thinking about putting it in where the window is and taking out that little dog box thing, and I probably can find enough lumber to make a porch out there off the back side of that, or putting the door where the old laundry room is and putting it right there, being that, and kind of using that as a come-in mudroom type thing, being if we use the bathroom, we wouldn't be able to, we're not run through the whole house, you know. We could be outside and then just come in right there to the bathroom area. That's kind of the rundown on the house, I believe. I don't know, Kelly, have you got any input on the house?
Yes. Okay. I'm not gonna write. Is that okay?
You what?
I'm not gonna write right now.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. First of all, with the house and everything, it goes back to what Jody's concerns are. When I was growing up, I grew up right next to it was a garage, but they had a lot of parked cars in the back. So I understand about rodents and how we kept them out of our house there. I've had experiences in the past at a basement of a church with that type of situation. And so the first thing, before we even remodel the house, what we'd like to do is, the ranch is in bad condition. I don't know how, if you guys have been up there or not, but it's a mess, you know. And, I mean, I grew up in a town like Mayberry. I just wasn't raised that way. And so we'd like to take the first week, starting Monday. I think we're going to do church with Brad tomorrow. But starting Monday, I think we'd like to take, and, you know, I'd say 3 hard days worth and get things organized. The first thing is there's that garage area, because Jody addressed the trash down there. That should not be a problem. If that's the face of the ranch, how are you going to sell properties? How are you going to have people come and stay? I took a sponge bath this morning without running water just to get here. All I'm saying, I told Rick, I said, I wouldn't pay to stay here. You know, no way. I'm completely comfortable in that camper. I mean, it's nice. It's a new camper. I'm totally content there. So as far as getting the ranch house, because we have to have a place to live, that is our home. We've lived there 4 months. Don't have a problem with that. Now, when it comes to the actual place, though, I made a list of some things that I thought needed done, because I did a walkthrough and took pictures yesterday. The storage bay, there's, like, across from the house, there's open storage bay, you know, with three-sided structure.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen in there is I saw those 20-pound propane tanks. I suppose you guys use them either for grills or something to do with the cabin. But they're just, like, all scattered out. And there is a grill thing, like Walmart has an iron grill thing, but it's not even in it. It's sitting in the middle. There's an old dryer there. There's, like, a baseball thing here. It's just,
and you're talking, orient me, you're talking,
walk out in front of the ranch house, the that shed where they keep the lawnmower and the four-wheelers.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
I went,
mainly full of junk most of the time that I've been up there.
Yeah,
exactly. And so what I did was I just went through and I just took some photos, and just to think about it, because I love that quote by Abraham Lincoln. He said, if I've got a 6-hour job to do, he says, I'll spend 4 hours thinking about it, contemplating, constructing my action, and then I'll spend 2 hours doing the actual work. The problem with the mice and the rodents and stuff like that, a lot of it is because it is junky and it's drafty, you know. And so I just kind of stood there and walked around. Here's pictures I took yesterday of the ranch, if you just kind of want to scroll through yourself. There's the house and everything.
and then you can kind of check and see what you think with that. Okay.
You're talking about de-junking headquarters.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Yes, especially if that's what you all call headquarters, because I know, I mean, being here, I know that you all aren't that way. I've been to Brad Tammy's house. I know
we lost
them.
Your pictures.
Yeah, you can mess with my phone. I don't care if I'm not high. Okay, so anyway, there's this open bay area. Clean those out. Two of those little bays, we could park our car and our truck in. He has a little pile he made, probably about the mid part of this section of the table, of like his saws and cords and things like that. That all could be hung on that back wall. Those 20-pound tanks that's just there, that could all be put in one of those containers, organized up against the wall. There's rakes, you know, like three or four rakes there, and a rake throwed over here, and things like that. Let's take the tools, organize it, use nails, whatever, stick it up. It don't have to be anything fancy or cost, you know, a lot. Just take stuff, get it hung up so we know what tools we have, so you're not going and buying extra tools or anything like that. And everything's clean and organized makes a big difference. Organization is one of my strong points, and I cannot stand clutter or filth or anything like that. I don't like cold, dark, and messy. Yeah, my kids don't like it at all. So, you know, and so getting that cleaned up and organized, like this free, there's a tractor, a backhoe, and a grader. It's like all parked right up by that tool shed. As you drive in, I love the antique things on the side of how y'all kind of decorated that. You know, keeping that mode and everything like that, that's just kind of nostalgic and historic. You come around, there's this cute face of this tool shop. I don't know what the inside of the building looks like, but the outside looks like
it. Used to be a store.
Okay. Well, I suggested that we move that, make this store, that building, instead of that other building. That way, you know, it would be more appealing to any guests that come. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, but moving that back, those three equipment, like drivable equipment, back to the back fence where
they were just like, in place there for parking for the winter.
There's like,
that's not where they normally sit.
Well, I know, but I'm saying just moving that back. I'm saying aesthetically, whenever you walk in, for a person that, you know, kind of photographic with their eyesight and everything like that, whenever you drive in, moving that back. Opening up the face of that with the tool shed and things. If you want to move the store from that little bitty building over to that tool shed and re-clean that up. But the building's just a hard week of just going in, cleaning, organizing, and no offense, but a burn pile for anything that's burnable. That way we're not making so many trips. Because on hauling out to the trash, this stackable washer and dryer and all that stuff like that. Something that I'm a Christian person. You guys asked for a Christian person to be branch managers. Okay? I got saved when I was 17 in the Catholic Church and spent time in ministry and non-denominational and spirit-filled. But the point of it is any time that you have with working food bank ministry and things like that, when you have a lot of clutter around like that, a lot of times it's a sign of poverty. Get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the stuff like that. You take a nice house that's just neat, clean, and orderly. Okay, thank you. It is so much better than a new house, a brick house that has the weeds grown up and everything's disastrous. You walk in and it's full of clutter. And the reason exactly what is on the outside of that is representative of you guys. And you know, and once you're coming in, and you want more people to come into the ranch and vacation, you want it to be an enjoyable experience, you want it to be unique. We went and toured a place called Heritage Homestead in Texas. Google it. It's excellent. And what they've done is it was a Los Bravos ranch, and they took and they just took buildings and they developed it out, you know, as different things. All I'm saying is the buildings are fine. Let's just make sure that they're maintained, clean, orderly, neat. Because if it's not, it does attract the rodents in and things like that.
You have. No. You're going to have 365 more days every year to be working on all of the projects to clean. Everybody recognizes what the ranch is. We've all spent tons of time out there. And lots of those things, you know, we're going to welcome all your input and everything. But it's critical that we get that ranch house up to speed and that you guys are settled. And so all the other things that are starting coming at you. So for 30 days, it's vital that your focus be texturing, painting, whatever we decide to go ahead and do on the ranch house. And if there's extra time, we welcome whatever, you know, all those cleaning areas.
Those are all great ideas.
That's
yeah.
super.
Well, and like I say, I'm completely comfortable in that camper because I'm not moving.
You don't have to move in the ranch house. Stay in your camper then. Yeah. Well,
I'm
we need
not moving into the ranch house. As is. I understand the ranch house needs updated.
That's our priority. We want to have that done first.
But the point of it is when people drive up, they don't see the inside of the ranch house. The first thing they see is all that trash and clutter.
But we still want the ranch house.
And having all of that. So you don't want to spend like a week getting things cleaned up and organized and things like that so we don't have a rodent problem?
We do, just not this week.
You know?
Just not next week. Yeah, first of April.
Because that is pretty nasty. No offense. But I'm an honest person. I just don't know how to explain it anymore.
Can I answer maybe a little to that question? I know I'm just a member.
I mean, we got to, it's fine. Yeah. Yes.
My thought in answering that question is a lot of our membership aren't coming out to purchase. They're coming out to stay. And because they stayed for years and years and years,
right.
they already recognize all of the things that we recognize, too. And so as we get into the reservation system and people coming out, there's going to be so much happening that while we're already familiar with what it is and every improvement we see is going to be fantastic, but in the meantime, it's going to be a bigger responsibility getting all of the people in and out of the cabins and hosting and all of that that will be happening. And that's the push to get into the ranch house sooner so you're settled and then in the rest of the time that you're not working with them. Clients, as far as purchasing out there, I would say that happens very rarely. I think we have a handful every year that change places.
It's not
a push to sell.
Okay.
There's not really selling going on. So everyone will appreciate all of the updates, but that's why they're saying it's not a priority because that.
It's a need. We recognize the need totally, and I love listening to what you're saying.
For the past 12 years, his dad and his uncle, and it's all been kind of the same type of situation there. We had hunters coming in. I made friends with these hunters. I mean, they would still come and visit me, okay, because I did the hospitality thing, like you said. That's just part of my gist. But at the same time, I'm not sure that you understand. I'm not sure that that's a great idea just to have. We got a situation now. They're saying the water's flooding down the hill. They have a concern about that. The weather patterns are changing. You got more rain. You're not in a drought situation any longer. And so, yeah, that's a concern. Why? Number one concern, I've got three kids to think about, you know. And so I planned on taking a first responders course. Just for the fact of where we would be located. But at the same time, you know, and checking into that, it's just a 2-day course, the first one is, and then I could do like 80 hours in the fall to bring it home.
We don't expect that you're going to be handing a nail and board to Rick every minute. That you can be, you know, doing some of these other things that you're capable of, but what... what to call your name and
Brad.
Your son. I was
Brad.
Kind of Brent and Brad's just saying, we want to focus on the ranch house.
Right, getting it done.
And then all of those other things can fall.
Before you know it,
it's gonna be
April 1st is going to be here,
yeah.
And then your ranch house will be done. And now we can look at everything else. But before you know it, April 1st is going
to
be here.
Well, it needs to be brought to speed anyway for the fact of it's a 100-year-old house. Apparently, it's important to somebody, either on your board or a founder or something, having a house that's 100 years old. I know my folks are dead, but at the same time, my sister lives there, and my home that I grew up in looks like a museum, and it's kept that way because, you know,
that's cool.
It's important. So my idea was to open up the walls to make that bigger dining room in case we do have to host people, have a formal dining room right in the front. Because there are times that you have people come in and you host a meal. We've already met one gentleman that apparently lives up around there. His name's Rick. And he's coming to
Rick,
eat with us Rick next
and
weekend.
Oh.
So, he's with us next weekend. So, he's going to come then. But, so there are opportunities and things like that people do want to entertain or things like that. So, his concern was about the animals there. There's three cats that's on the property, and he was feeding them. I said, well, if I'm here, I'll feed the animals there. So, that's not a concern.
So, how does everybody feel about the opening that we're doing away with one bedroom and opening that up? Go ahead.
I like that. I got concerned on cost of all that kind of a remodel, what the walls entail.
Oh,
and then if we bring another ranch family manager after you guys, they might have four kids and they might need that extra room. You will never have to host in your house anything official for the ranch. That's just the ranch manager's house. The garden cab is open and available, has a huge kitchen and a big area over there that you'll
but not for entertaining.
You'll do tons of entertaining over there.
That's where it's done.
Turkey dinner over there. I mean, it's way more open. There's all kinds of other things.
Okay, well,
ranch managers just for our ranch manager's house.
That's true.
And it needs to look clean and organized, and it needs to be the face of our ranches as we come in, and I send my family over there and they pick up the keys from you, and you know, it looks nice. And
whether you invite people to come into your house there or not, they shouldn't be just walking right into your house. Okay, so that's not going to happen. That's why you I forgot about the fact that we used the garden cabin for bigger entertaining things. So we're looking for function and comfort for you.
But we host around the campfire too.
It's got a big kitchen, four bathrooms, and a ranch and a garden cabin.
So as far as that idea, it's a nice idea, but I agree. I forgot all about that. We always use the garden cabin.
We hadn't had a chance.
Right, and you guys are just getting your feet wet, and we understand that. Just know that our focus is for you guys to be getting that ranch house ready for the next 30 days. And do you have any more bids or cost evaluations about what?
Poor dry ones, I guess, as far as doing the walls and stuff. Supporting my father with a construction and my brother, so I've been around all my life too.
Okay.
So I'll be doing the painting.
My thoughts on the rear doors. Rear door might be more functional for you at the side of the house, but it's going to be safer for everybody that's in that house, especially if you're upstairs, back in the bedrooms. If kitchen is higher, you need to be able to exit out the very back of the house.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, then I'd have to, there's a little doghouse right out the backside. There's a window right there, and I can utilize that window space and go right out there and use that for the door. We can just cut down and cut that out. But the thing is, we're going to have to build a deck out there. And you can utilize them posts.
Sure.
Then posts
and that can be a project for even later on as the deck. But we just need the ranch house done. We've got 30 days.
Another thing, Ken, when you talk about the three bays and how
there's about four or five. And I've got my funky one.
No, I've been there since 78. We know exactly the nasty look. But what I'm saying is, rather than you taking time to do that by yourself now, as the weather gets better, you have a lot of volunteers that can actually come up to our next members. Joe and I would love to come up and give you guys a hand to get in there and call it a project.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't have to be something that you have to do on your own at this point. Because like the board is trying to say, we want you comfortable in your cabin there at the ranch house. Now, I know you say you like your camper, but at this point we have no dump station there, all the facilities that you need with that as well. But the ranch house is something that we fixed up, ready to provide, and no one, as I have said, not a lot of people are coming in at this point. Yeah. So this is your time, and we can assist you as volunteers, because we do it all the time, to help that other area over there.
That's kind of what we're getting paid to do, and organization's kind of easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm one of these people, if you take a few cards out of a deck, hand it to me, I'll tell you what cards you take out, because it's just there.
Yeah. Well, it's important, and it is, and that's what the board is saying is the priority, but what I'm hearing the board say is, can you do those specific things?
Well, go ahead
and
do that. If you're wanting to prioritize the house, that's fine.
I think
that's
the law.
We can do that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's not going to help with the rodent situation, with this washout that you're wanting to invest in or anything like that. We're not getting that garbage gone.
We all agree.
And that garbage in the house, too, what would you like to do for waste management concerning it?
Yeah,
trash bags and stuff.
Yeah, garbage and stuff on the front porch.
An old sofa that's nasty. And
just throw that out.
I mean,
throw it away.
A little bit about how that all functions.
My phone.
don't you take some time after?
I will after.
And then
okay.
We can clear all that all up.
Share
Let's
with
move
you
forward.
About all functions.
Yeah, so.
But we can get the house done.
So I would say then, I think I would say probably we would rather they not open up, take away that one bedroom.
Right. We don't work structurally how it will work.
You put an I-beam across, like a long beam because of using the wood around the edge. So when the
no,
wall
is
helping
you, don't need to explain it to me.
But it wouldn't take away from your support.
Yeah.
But you beam it up. We've done it before.
So
Rick could come in with a price and different ideas when we interviewed him at Barry's place. I think that's what the board is kind of thinking about, the ideas that you had and the amount of
well,
money that
so at this point in time, concentrate on the ranch house, come up with some costs, know that we have not unlimited funds, but we, so far, the things we've heard is flooring, paint, drywall and painting, bid on the kitchen cabinet thing, doorway in the back. We're good with those?
Yeah.
And do we want to hold off on the bedroom idea? Is that right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
I'd like to get up and look at that myself. I mean, I've been in there. I've torn walls apart. I've added doors. I rebuilt the bathroom floor. It caved in. So my wife and I have been up there. We rebuilt that thing about two or three times already.
Has a nice vanity. You did a good job on that.
So I'd like to go up there again and look at what you're talking about. But like I say, in case somebody else comes up and they have another kid or two kids, we eliminate a bedroom, then we put ourselves in a bind. Now we got to close it back up. So.
How are we gonna communicate?
I'd like to look at it myself again and help evaluate it with you.
Let's talk about communicating with you guys. For right now, what do we have? What did we have, or what do we have?
We had the ranch manager reporting to John, basically.
But John won't be there. When will you be there, John?
I won't be up there until probably mid-May.
Yeah,
Brent
will be there within a week or two.
I met with Brent.
Have you met Brent
this morning? And he's supposed to turn on the water and the electric. Him and
Paul or Paul? You met Paul or Brent?
Brent.
Brent came back early.
Oh yeah.
Brent and he's. I think he's supposed to meet with Paul.
Yeah.
There was another gentleman there. He's supposed to meet with. And they were going to turn the water on and the electric on to the facility and stuff.
Okay, so we know that Brent has told the capability of. Satellite or phone or communicating.
Paul was going to bring the phone back.
If you met Brent, we apologize. We should have given you at least a three-day look up on what he does and doesn't do, and even that wouldn't help, but he's on your side.
I want to propose we strike that from the record.
His Brad is there.
Okay, I want to know then, I want to know as far as over.
Today there will be.
As far as direction, on-site direction, and or communicating back and forth, who has headquarters as their concern? Is that you, Joe?
Say it again.
Headquarters?
Somewhat. Most of it, yeah. I'm in charge of, you know, construction or building or what needs to be repaired and what has to be repaired. That falls on me.
Okay. So, Joe, does this sound feasible that you'll – between you and when we get the phone back to them and Brent, if he's willing, on site. And I don't know when you start going out there, but Joe, you're the lead on this.
Okay.
With communicating.
I'll get now. I usually get up there end of March. It depends on the snow to my cabin. I got a cabin up there. And if I can get in, I'm up. If I can't get in, I'm not up. So usually by April at the latest, I'm up there.
I'll tell you what, I volunteer to be the liaison between you guys and the board for this next month, for this next 30 days.
Yeah, because he's up there.
Because I'll be there several times.
Wonderful.
And then after that, then when Joe arrives there 1st of April, we can turn it over to him. When John arrives, whoever, you can turn it over to John.
The roads are in good shape. I drove my car up, and it's a 2009 Lincoln.
Yeah, but,
so it's low.
I'm 6 miles further up.
Oh.
If I can't get to my cabin, then.
There's skips of snow still around on the ditches.
Okay, so Do you think, Rick, are you pretty clear on what we'd like you to do?
Yes.
So far? Okay, good.
Yes.
And,
question?
Yes?
There was a lot of talking going on at one time, so I couldn't really decipher. Did we come up with a final budget for the 30-day project of the ranch house so I can note it?
I will let, I think we, maximum we, no, I don't know about maximum, but we came up with the fact that we probably have about $5,500
that we don't necessarily
need to spend, but that and so Brad will oversee and connect, and if so that we, and we'll communicate with the rest of the board so we don't have any big surprises, right?
Do you have a proposal on an estimated
just
for paint, texturing, a back door?
Come up with that for and get it to him, he'll get it to us, and but you know, kind of, we want you to do those things, and I think we can we can cover those things. None of those things sound outrageous to me at all.
No, I
got one question. Wood floor versus a tile floor. Anybody's thoughts on that?
I have.
The reason why I want a wood floor is because I've done a ton of older homes like this, and you have so much shifting and moving, even though they're, you know, shifting and moving, and that flex on that wood floor, like we took, my idea was to make it look a lot better, was take like 1x6s and stain them and start screwing and screw them down or shoot them down and make a hardwood floor, kind of like you would this floor here, but it would be a lot thicker. And the reason being is because you have so much flex in there, it is really hard to put a tongue and groove, floor like this one on a barn or an old ranch house like that, because it's so unlevel and stuff, and it would just take so much time to make everything perfectly level. You have to have a floor that is almost completely perfect to lay a floor like this and to keep it staying.
Or especially to lay tile.
Yeah.
Yeah, or to lay tile. Like on the tile, is...
I have it input.
Okay. And...
okay, John, just a minute.
That's my whole reasoning to do that. Not only would it go better with the aesthetic period, you know what I'm saying? But like I say,
so the finished thing that we're looking at is 2x6s.
No, we'd probably use like a 1x6 or a 3x4x6. Probably. Yeah, if I can talk to them and just find out if they can do something like that, and the cost effectiveness of it.
Finish lumber, are they?
Well, they can have it. They send their wood out and can have it milled. We just had a bid done on tongue and groove for inside the house.
There's a place in Panguitch that does it too, because I did it at my last house. But the only concern that I would have is with the wood that we use, a hardwood rather than a pine or a fir or something, because they get dented up and they last about 3 years and then they're a mess. So,
Absolutely.
Okay, John.
Okay, I heard the tile there and I had to butt in since I was in the tile trade for 53 years. You can't put tile on the floor in that house. It won't work because the floor is too weak. It costs a fortune to even try to make a floor hold tile, so don't even consider tile. And you can tile a countertop, you can tile the bathroom walls and what have you, but that floor in there, it will not work in that house. That's it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think that's what we all assume and appreciate that, John. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah, you ever need a tile question answered? That guy built swimming pools for 50 years. It was all about tile.
He's on the board.
He's on the board.
So that's John. Okay. So have we covered everything we need to at this point in time with John?
I feel good about moving forward. And then I'm guessing roughly we're talking about between $2,000 and $3,000 worth of materials. Is that what we?
Yeah. The only thing would be the kitchen cabinets.
Without the cabinets.
Without the cabinets? Oh, yeah. Yeah, without the cabinets.
I would think the cabinets would come in. After you get those other things done, first priority is going to be your floors, walls, and back door. Then the cabinets and then the stonework that you want to do around your thing. And you can even do that later on if you want.
Yeah, it's got to be one. The deal with the stone is I can't have that fireplace running because it cracked the mortar. And it needs to set. So you're talking, you know, week project in April probably or May, something like that.
Because when it warms up.
When it warms up and I can open the door and that stuff can cure to dry slow,
yeah.
Because there ain't no sense of laying it if it's going to just bust apart.
Is that floor going to be tongue and groove?
Probably not.
Okay.
If we can get it straight and true enough, we can just butt it next to each other and shoot it down. Probably so. It'd be a lot easier. I've done several decks like that out of 1x6, and then I did it hardwood, what I call hardwood floor style. You know,
I don't know enough about that to make that decision, guys, so you guys make that.
If he knows how to do it, then I'd say do it.
But
okay.
We want to run that way through. I kind of cost estimated that, figured that in my head, roughly measured this morning. You roughly have between 1,000 and 1,200 square feet, roughly a floor space in there. So you're talking, if you... what it milled out of up home, which I don't know here or not, was the average dollar something a square foot. But if you can get it, you know, buy it at 50 and they have to refurbish it for 50 cents, whatever, you know, a dollar something a square foot. So, you know, as far as cost, $1,200, $1,500 on cost of it. We can do that. I haven't checked. Like I said, I just got here yesterday, so I haven't really had time to go down to Fredonia and shoot the bull with the people down there, the estimators. So.
They do cabinets down there too. So.
Oh, do they really? Oh well, there you go. We might.
Yeah,
in.
Okay.
Yeah, we know.
Okay,
then we need to keep moving on with our meeting, and again. We're excited to have you guys on board, and all of those things, like Candy was saying, members would love to help with, and I think they're all important to do. So, but we do want to emphasize Ranch House first, yeah.
We're going to be having a newsletter come out.
It's
we're going to want to get your
yeah.
people to the ranch, and if they can get some kind of information going that they'd like to have in our newsletter and some pictures that we can have on the website.
Yeah, I'm sure Kelly, expert writer, and can do all get a.
Not an expert, but a writer. And I meant that with due respect to you guys about the thing, but I can understand what Jody's saying with the pest problems that
yeah.
trash and
yeah.
disorganization and garbage around. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
No matter what you put in there.
Yeah, I'm
I agree.
Right on that storage across because that's. Places for rattlesnakes and everything else. So if everything was up off the floor and lot cleaner,
well,
I feel better.
Whatever's inside the building,
I feel
you
better,
have to
yeah.
be cleaned, organized, and everything,
but,
even if it isn't utilized by us.
That's down the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll let you guys go if you'd like, and, but if you want to stay, you're welcome to stay too. But if I were a young man, I wouldn't want to sit through a three-hour board meeting. So, very well-behaved kids, though. Okay, so let's look at our agenda. We got to keep... yep.
So I don't care. The appropriation of funds for these projects, for the wash house, and for this other wedding.
The checks come from Mariah.
Okay.
So we've authorized her to do that.
My question is, when you appropriate those funds to us, do we need to set up a separate banking account to put those funds in so we can write checks for that? Or
she'll write the checks directly to the vendors. Right?
Big vendors, I can understand.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like, you know,
paint.
You know, paint and drywall mud.
I did get books for
that.
As far as like that goes, as long as they're being approved through the board, you'll have an account that you'll be able to use to make those kind of purchases.
An account with at the
you already have an account.
With yes, that you'll make purchases out of, and then if there's any.
If you want to move ahead, I can chat with them out on the porch and get
about those things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wonderful. One thing, logbooks. Do we currently have a logbook for our fuel? Because that's going to be the first thing that they're going to be burning, and we need to have a fuel logged.
I think
there's a counter on that.
yes,
on that pump as it comes out there, and every gallon we want it accounted for.
Sure.
Is the truck out there, the trailer?
It's going to be today.
I don't think
it's
yet.
All the equipment back today. So if we don't have a logbook, then we need to make sure they have some money to buy a logbook to go back out there so they can begin to leave.
I think Taylor, I picked one up.
I think that's one for our time and how we're spending our time, because we're accountable to Trevanya. Not to just vacation out there, but actually accomplish something. And the other one, she used. So we went on the book.
We'll let you discuss that with
the March. That's fine. We went on the book in March, so I went and started on what we've done. Branch business.
So this is Linda Alderman. She used to be totally where Mariah is sitting right now, and they've been kind of making a transition, their mother and daughter.
And if she gives you any trouble, turn her into Linda,
yeah,
and she'll straighten it out.
So why don't you go ahead and take them, Linda. You're welcome to sit in the front room or to go outside or whatever you want, or out back here wherever you can talk or take pictures or whatever. That'd be great.
Okay, Rick, I got one request for you. I'm in charge of the equipment as far as what maintenance is done or not done. I need to keep a complete record of all the hours that are being logged on the equipment individually.
Okay.
Right now, everything is parked.
Well, we can just keep a logbook inside. Log, easy to do with that is just keep a logbook inside the truck for each
in the case.
Vehicle. You know.
I don't know if I'm in favor of that. That might have a tendency to disappear with a mouse or a squirrel.
Or someone's using it and it gets misplaced.
Yeah, it gets misplaced accidentally.
We just have a logbook in the house.
Yeah, I prefer that. That way it can't be tampered with.
There we go.
You can put one in there too, and then just have a master copy.
Whatever. But we need to log it. But all the oils have changed on everything by Brent. So we should be good for a quarter of the year at least.
Okay.
And if you just make a note, if you'd have them show you today or tomorrow, whenever they're going to be with you, Monday or whatever, how to determine how much fuel we have. Do you know how much fuel is in the tank? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Could you talk to them about how we determine how much fuel we have in our tank? A full of it, when are we going to need more fuel?
Okay. Sure. Yep. We can log in. On the starting point, you know, write it down.
You should,
there's so much.
You should have a phone out there today, too.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, I'm going to generally use my cell phone.
Okay.
Because I carry that with me.
Therefore. And here's your
thanks again.
So far.
That's our what?
Thank you.
The minutes you asked me to write?
You can get a little
thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Okay.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you.
You too.
So,
Mike,
you
want to
come
up, will you?
She's snoring already.
Okay, this is outside. Before we go back to the agenda, just 2 minutes of just I think they're eager and you know, it's just like anything big brand new. So I think we just need to give them guidance. All right, let's go to our agenda. So we're down to on 4, or it did be on 4, approval of final draft or rules and reg.
I got one question before we move forward. We're going to have to start and how much money are we authorized to spend?
Purchasing what?
Material. To start rebuilding. They need to go to work.
Oh, shoot. I need to run out and grab them.
That was Jody's question.
think Jody wanted to know what our actual budget was, or how much that we had there.
Well, without dipping or moving other categories around, that's what I was trying to ascertain, how much we had generally to work with, and it seems about $5,500.
At max, because that would use up everything else.
So maybe I'd say $5,000, and but that was kind of like our budget for all year for that place too. So, but that, but I don't. So you know, he's talking if they do cabinets and flooring and everything, it's probably all close to it's $4,000 to $5,000, right?
And do we want to do cabinets?
I
don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the condition of them.
No, I'm either. In fact, I'd like to go up and look at it again. I just don't remember how much was damaged either.
They're not very cool. They're not adjustable. They're just old.
Definitely is something that could be done.
A little diverse.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Because of his skills in carpentry, I've built a few houses, so I have a little bit of experience, and I was going to also offer, if we need referrals, I've worked with a lot of companies here locally in St. George. I used to do interior design as my profession, so I have some contacts that could maybe help us financially as well. But if with his experience in carpentry, cabinets can be purchased, just the basics, and then assembled themselves and hung up. I'm sure that's something he's capable of doing. You can, where you save your money, like everything else, is in the labor. And so if he can assemble those cabinets and put them up, I think you could wager to say that if it was a similar layout and design, you would probably be spending between $2,000 and $3,000 for cabinets to be put in there. Maybe an additional, depending on what type of countertop you purchase, probably another additional $1,000 there again, depending on your layout of the kitchen and
everything.
For materials only.
We told him basically to get a bid. We want to get a bid, so why don't we get a bid and then decide from there.
I just wanted to throw in, my wife and I looked at each other and said, IKEA.
Yeah.
I think one suggestion I have, and I'll keep quiet just so we can get done with this meeting, I think the discussion of those kind of things needs to be handled in an executive session, and then rather than sharing all the money that we may have in a meeting like this, just because it opens the door for hey, wait a second, I would just suggest in the future that we hold off improvements and budget items for specific stuff so that we. Because right now, I don't think we have enough information, for example, to decide whether the cabinets need to be replaced or not. I have no idea. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. If I remember right, the kitchen's pretty small, so we're not talking about a lot. You can get prefab from IKEA, from Home Depot, or from, you know, I just don't know enough about it, and I'm not really ready to.
Did Danny Johnson make them last time? One of the lot owners.
Yeah,
he helped supply them at a good price, so we may be able to do that again.
We can maybe. Well, I just my point is we need to have these discussions, but I think we need to have them in an executive session before we start talking numbers. And I didn't even think about it till we're halfway through, and you know, this helps us to curb and decide what we're doing before we let out.
We're a little slow now. We know it.
Yeah.
But I think what the basis. For fixing the cabin up was what he had, that paper, he had listed different things that he wanted to have done, and the total amount was about $2,500. And I think that's when the interview was done. That was the information he had, and I think that's what you were going by. For me to hear, now he wants the cabinets redone, that was something over and above that limit, that price kind of was to get him started.
That's why I put it on the back burner. So with your approval, then we free the funds to be able to do paint, texture, flooring, and a back door. And then we can spend that money, and if we have to spend, go above and beyond that will be with approval of the rest of the board.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay.
So let it be written.
Okay.
Okay.
Next.
Hey, guys, I got a question.
Yeah, John.
I guess my dump truck is out, huh? That's all I was going to say.
No, you got a price on that dump truck?
No, well, we had one last year. I don't have one now. I had one last year. We're searching for another one, but it sounded like the money had gone bye-bye.
We'll figure a way. Get us a price. We got to have a dump truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we do, because we'll save enough money to pay for that dump truck a couple of times over real quick. But I'll work on that.
Okay. Okay. I think we're going to buzz through a lot of things. Well, I'd leave rules and regs for a minute. I just want to say I read that letter that you sent me to Kane County. And did you bring that? Okay. And
ready for you.
I thought it was great.
I don't know who else. I think I copied everybody on it.
Yeah. Anybody have any objections to that letter? That
no.
Yeah. Let me have your pen there.
Is if you'll sign both, it's one page long. I just like to have a copy for the file.
Okay.
Signature.
Well, yeah. Let's sign and give both of them to Mariah, and she can have them mailed. Have one mailed.
I'm sure I can sign the same way.
What's that?
Is that the letter on your will?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep, you're going to inherit debt like you've never heard.
Okay, that took care of that. Evaluation and subsequent link on the DSROA.org website. That had to do with this.
It's already done.
Okay.
And it's up there. It looks fine to me. I don't know that there's any discussion necessary. Vance put it up. It
okay,
fine.
Great. February water testing.
January we passed. February I've told Paul to go ahead and do the testing month to month as for basin for the notice. There was a little bit of a misunderstanding, I guess. My understanding was the $100 a month would cover when and if he needs to take the water to Cedar City or St. George rather than drop it off in Kanab. He said, well, took him 4 hours to each way to get in and out with snow and other things. And I said, you know what, put whatever the extras are on your bill. He anticipates there may be sometimes an extra $50 charge for extra time and travel. And I said, that's fine. If anybody wants to beat me up, then they can. So do we have the bill from Paul for January yet?
That sounds fine.
Barry, he's right now just doing the lower water, right? Nothing up higher up.
The lower water is the only
somewhere to test water.
And I think he did to the main ranch. That's because he had to go up and start the well, and I think it was all the lower ranch.
Okay. So with time, I know Rick, sure, they're sure overwhelmed. They have a million things to do. And we don't know how they're going to prove out. If we get past a year or two or whatever, I'd foresee him maybe learning how to do that skill.
I think he can learn over time. I will tell you that there's one advantage to having Paul or Mark Fisher or somebody in town do it. You pay them a set amount, then they have to take – they're basically in charge of or responsible for making sure the system's in compliance. Something we don't have to worry about, and it doesn't really cost us much. So to be honest with you,
might be better.
I think we'll trade somebody, but at the same time, if we can have somebody, and Paul's doing a fantastic job and going above and beyond, then we train somebody, but at the same time, it's better. Is that something that's better to sub out than it is for us to do on our own anyway?
Okay. Let's see. Before we go on to Brad, just a question about Paul. Do we have or will we have now all things from log splitter to truck or
we
all
should.
Things that they have?
We should. He indicated that he would, so
okay.
I'll let you know.
All right.
And Mr. Phil?
Yeah.
And to get all of their items off of the ranch.
They're working on that today.
They still have.
They have stuff in their containers, in the containers that are up there. So
because we don't want Rick and
right.
Oh yeah, we need
to put stuff in front of it.
I'm surprised to hear they still have stuff up there. I thought they were supposed to have it up by November, and then we said December, and
that was part of the frustration. Is I don't think a lot of things that we talked about happening happened. So
we're on it.
I think we just need to move forward and make sure and get it done. And
okay,
so
all right, agriculture, Brad.
This is the month that they'll do the funding. Our NRCS guy, Zach, took a job with the Forest Service and moved to the Forest Service. And so we have a new guy who's over us, and he's way overloaded because there's a job freeze federally and they can't hire. His name is Lee Woolsey. And Lee's been out and toured the ranch as much as possible. He made it all the way to the upper meadow, and we've gone over the plans that we have as far as applying for the funding, and he agreed and concurred with Zach on most things. I think he was going to talk to him about changing some stuff, whether it be a heavy mow versus a light mow for the rabbit brush for funding, but that's all taken care of, and it's in the works, so we'll see if we fund, and then we'll go from there.
Is he from Escalante?
I don't think so.
The population of Escalante is four.
Well, Wolfies? Yeah, I don't think so.
But I thought you were only at one.
Wildlife, talked with Larry Clarkson about the possibility of having some permittees coming in to go turkey hunting, so that might be something that happens. But if it does, nobody will even notice except for the money that comes in. That's pretty much it.
Okay. How about this beehive lease?
I talked to the bee guy. The bee is coming in. I only have the phone number for one of the bees, and so.
Brinkerhoff?
No, I need Brinkerhoff's phone number. If somebody can get me that, I can contact him.
I can get that to you.
But, okay. And we'll find out what his plans are. The other guy's bees, I don't have my notes in front of me. I don't want to dig for them, but they're not coming in until later. But he understands that he's going to sign a lease, and it's going to be in the exact same positions that they were last year unless they want to do something different. And then we'll check that out, and I'll bring that result to you, and you can say yay or nay.
Hey, Brad?
Yes.
Do they, I'm not sure which month they come up to do the bees. I've got the signs here, and I meant to bring them up this month, but I didn't come up. Are they going to need them before the next month's meeting, or should I ship them or just bring them up with me next month? Do you know the time frame?
I think you can bring them. You can
okay.
bring them.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Well, cabin maintenance, Joe?
We're the same we were before until we get up and see what how much time Rick's going to have for painting and such. We'll just leave it as is. I'm going to do some painting and some wallboard and leave it at that.
When you say wallboard, you're talking about the concrete board.
The concrete wallboard got underneath. Yeah, that ain't made so the mice can't get under it.
And I think that's what we're going to have to do with this.
With this shed
as
I
well.
Think the wood shed, yeah. You go down. So I went down about 6 inches because that's as far as I can dig at my age. As young as he is, he'd go down about 10, 12 inches, put the wallboard in. We'll never have a problem.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
On cabin 9, I don't think Paul ever finished what he was doing in there, and there's a bunch of stuff left in one of the rooms there that he was working on that cabin with. So he never finished it, and there's stuff left in there. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Okay, John, we got you down under roads.
I'm
assuming they're in pretty bad shape right now. Go ahead.
Well, we had this newly created equipment lease agreement. I think we've all seen that, and I'm not sure why it's on our agenda. Did we need to still approve it?
What we approved it last meeting with a couple of changes. I just sent it out with the changes. Did you get a chance to look at it?
No, I didn't get a copy of it.
Okay. Basically, we approved it last time, and I added the credit card information and changed the format a little bit with a couple suggestions. Jody had a suggestion. I don't have it here in front of me, but Jody had a suggestion of – anyway, bottom line is I added the suggestions and resent it out, and I didn't print a copy because I don't think we really need to discuss it further.
Okay.
I looked at it. It was good.
I thought it looked pretty good. Yeah, Jody thought it looked good. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a good job. Thanks, Mary.
So remind me, Mariah, to get you a copy because you'll need to use that when people call in and or want to rent equipment, which I don't know how soon or how late that's going to be. But
John?
Yes.
And, maybe you can communicate with Brent Fulmer a little bit. If we're in any dire problem or, you know, something, a hole that's opened up and the ranch creator is going to fall into it or anything. But other than that, until you get out there, I think that's the way it's going to have to be. We've talked to, I noticed in some communication, Larry Clarkson agreed, I don't know who asked him, but agreed to help
to train
our new manager on how to operate some of that equipment. He's operated equipment,
yes,
but not that big of stuff, yeah. So he's
yeah, gonna I, training. Yeah, Brad and I talked about that, and I think Brad talked to Larry, and I talked to Larry Clarkson day before yesterday, and I told him, and he's willing to do that. As I talked to him, I said Brad and I talked about having him to do the training, and he's on board with that, and I like that too because he knows how to run a grader probably better than anybody out there, and he knows how to run all the other stuff, and I think he would be the best guy if, so long as he's willing to do so, to help train.
Okay, good.
I have one question on that. When you guys talked to him, did you guys talk about any cost involved, or is he doing this for free, or are we paying him? I don't want to get in a situation where there's an expectation of payment, and if we're using time for him to train, I don't want to have a problem. John, do you know, did you guys discuss any of that?
Brad actually talked to him about it, and I just brought it up to him, and I have not myself discussed what he wants to charge. Perhaps Brad can answer that.
Yeah, I think that's important. I agree with Barry. We don't want to take advantage of Larry, and we want to make sure there's no misunderstandings here.
I'll tell you, I really wouldn't want him to do it free. I would rather have an agreement on up front and about whether it's an hourly or whatever. Just because I think a friend is worthy of his hire. Okay, that's where I am on that.
Okay. I'm going to bring up, let's see, was there two other little items? Now, and one, you guys don't have a picture of, but you probably got an email from Dale and Patsy for their reunion kind of thing, or let's see, what's it called?
It's a 40th birthday.
Kind of a 40th birthday for the ranch. Which sounds real fun and generous on the part of the Clarksons, but I see a few little potential questions that we might have and want to make sure. Because in here, let's see, there will be food, entertainment, games, ranch tours, history, and information programs, and more. You will have the opportunity to meet your neighbors and learn more about ownership at the ranch. So whether you're a new owner, have a lease unit, have a lease the past, or just interested in becoming a part of Deer Springs Ranch family, blah, 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 mark your calendars for March 27th. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in Guatemala, but anyway, Barry, the question that you might be able to help us out with or be the connection here with your family is are there expectations Cabin Rentals headquarters up in the middle. What? Can you give us a little, you know, it seems like this would have been a little better if we had, if Dale had come and said, hey, I got this great idea. And I think we'd all said, that's a great idea. But we don't know those other things. And,
I don't think they're expecting any help from, it's basically, as I understand it, an opportunity to celebrate the 40th birthday of when they organized, Deer Springs Ranch. They owned it before, but when it was formally organized as a project, it's going to be a marketing thing. They're going to try to, they're bringing people up there to be familiar with the ranch and get to know existing members and people that they've leased property to. I don't think, that they're expecting to, I assume that they're planning on doing something on their own property as far as lot 111 and their place where they've done family reunions in the past. I don't know that. I haven't talked to them specifically. They did mention to me that it was coming up and they wanted to do something and ask if I thought the board would want to be involved. And I said, not if it's necessarily a marketing thing. So I might have turned them off to contacting the board and saying, here's what's going on. I told them, if you guys want to do a marketing thing and you want to invite people, I think that's a great idea. It's a great exposure for the ranch, but I may have encouraged them wrongly then, because I know that I just told them your expectations can't be that the owners association is going to pay for or provide stuff. But I don't know a lot of details of what they have in mind. They did mention to me that they wanted to do something and get as many members as wanted to come up to feed them and to have kind of a celebration of the existence of the ranch. So I can certainly get more information and present it.
That would be good because, probably there's a little bit of the same old confusion about DeerSpringsRanch.com and DeerSpringsRanch.org or And in certain people's minds, ownership of the ranch, memberships, you know, there's just, and will our ranch managers have to work on this? See, those, all those little things we don't know.
I don't think they're expecting, nor do they, I mean, I've told them, you know, if you want to do a promotional thing, then it certainly is, to have people become familiar with the ranch and the celebration at the same time, then it's going to be exposure and an opportunity to market their lots. So
it's kind of like giving official information about the ranch and these things about tours and blah, 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 that sometimes fuzzes the who's in charge here.
I don't necessarily think there's a confusion. Anybody can give it to, they give tours to the ranch to every buyer, potential buyer that comes up there.
Yeah, I think all my people, my family probably think I own the ranch or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't your family think you own the ranch?
I think it's a good idea, but my original, and it says further detail, so we haven't gotten those yet. My concern was he planning on booking a lot of the cabins? Because Memorial Day weekend is usually booked by a lot of people, if I'm not mistaken. So,
as I understand it,
first service.
As I understand it, it's a one day deal. I don't think that they're planning on. I mean, whoever books cabins, they have to go through the normal process. And if they're booked, they're booked. I don't think that they're planning on a weekend or an overnight thing. I think it's a one day event, and I'm sure that they'll end up with some kind of a dinner or maybe the Indian legend thing. I don't know.
Will Larry come down to swing again?
That's possible. I can get more information. I just don't have a lot. I've tried to steer them clear when they ask me about, because I know that the it's not fair for members to make certain demands on the association and vice versa. This could be a mutually beneficial thing. But bottom line is, I can get more information on what they're planning, and then if we as the board and association would like to participate more fully, I'm sure the door is open, but I don't know that's necessarily where we want to go. So,
well, I think that promotes a feeling of, you know, family or, you know, togetherness or members is cool. And all, and yet
there are just those crossover concerns, and we just would like to know, have a little more information. And I don't think we're not passing judgment or saying we have to approve or not approve. We don't. It's just if there are expectations for facilities or the ranch as a whole, then we should probably know.
Well, and I can tell you that I basically, when they mentioned they thought they might want to do something, I said, don't count on the association participating. So they're planning on going ahead, doing this event on their own. We can participate or not. I can get more information just so we know what's going on. But
that'll be great. That'll
obviously, if they want something else as far as association participation, then they'll have to ask and we'll have to decide. I mean,
okay.
It's that simple.
Fair enough.
Input, please. Input?
Yes.
Okay, I look at this too. Like, whatever party they want to have and stuff is great. But I think a common courtesy here needs to apply for the Clarkson family as well as anybody else on the ranch. Like, if I wanted to bring my 100 family reunion up to the ranch, if I was intending to use the ranch headquarter area, I would need to get permission from the board to use it during that time, and I would think that would be common courtesy to ask. Now, if they're going to have it on their property, hey, have a ball, great time, great event, whatever. But for anybody, I think it needs to be, if they want to have it, if they're planning to have it at HQ, or anybody plans to have anything at HQ, a special event, it needs to come to the board to get the go-ahead for it. I think we need to start establishing that policy, because it's, you know, a couple things have happened before in the past, and not necessarily with the Clarksons, but in general, and we need to really keep a handle on it. We are paying the liability insurance. We are paying to refill the supplies in the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. So just my input.
Well, okay. I think as long as we deal with them the same as we deal with all other members, if we're going to require all other members, if you're having a family reunion, you need to get approval from the board, then that's fine to apply to
everybody. I think she's just saying
only if it's headquarters.
Using headquarters. Because everybody has their own families up.
Oh, yeah.
There all the time. I don't think
headquarters is fine too, but just so there isn't a conflict.
Right.
But how then, does that mean they got to wait for 30 days before notice for us to have a bonfire at the headquarters?
Because it kind of depends on.
I mean, a lot of this is kind of over where there's not a problem. I hate making any legislation to create.
I think it depends on the size of the group. I mean, if it's 25, if just your immediate extended family, I don't think it's any big deal. You can visit these guys and invite them and have a little fire there and do whatever. But if it's like 150 people, or
I got 60
lots
people
of vehicles
in my personal family, and if they came out to the ranch and they rented some cabins and we went down to headquarters to have a barbecue, I think that's perfectly acceptable if I happen to come to a board meeting and get approval to have.
Hold that thought, Brad. The ranch headquarters is an association asset, so it has to be available for everybody to use. So what if you had two different groups playing the family reunion at their own place and then say, hey, let's go down and have a campfire? Well, great if you have, like a limited 75 people, but what if you ran into two family reunions, had 100 people each, you got 200 people down at headquarters at the same time? I think it just has to be organized a little bit better, and we need to share that asset and make sure we know what's going on with that asset when we let it go out. That's what I'm saying.
Has that ever happened?
We've never had that problem. I mean, we're
not yet, but it could.
But it could have. And if it becomes an issue, I'm all for legislating and organizing and whatever. But personally, if you show up with your family down there and my family's there, we're probably going to feed you, because when the hunts meet, people eat.
And we like that, Doug. I'm glad we like that.
Cowboy music, and then we're going to probably, give you an ice cream. And it's a family kind of a ranch and thing. I just hate to be jumping over.
I think we just want to encourage communication. Like, hey, I'm bringing my family up, and the ranch managers ought to know, and then they know, and it's probably. And 99.9% of the time, 100% so far, it's just fine.
Well, for this actual situation, I will get more information, and if they're hoping to use ranch headquarters for a barbecue or something, then I will make sure that's on and we can decide.
Because this might turn into a whole ranch episode thing if indeed they want to.
I would be surprised if this turns into more than about 25 people. But okay. That's just me, and I'm usually pessimistic. So this is going to be, I would guess,
potentially
smaller than what your normal family reunion is. But
I have a question.
Well, if they're serving food, I'll be there.
All right. Hang on one second, guys. I've got a little this organized just now. On our agenda... Oh, I wanted to make an assignment. That's what I wanted to do. As you know, we've been getting emails from Larry Clarkson about area representatives or whatnot, and I sent you an email, but I didn't apologize. I didn't know how to send copies. Booklet I handed out in 2004 at the annual meeting, and I gave reasons why, but the whole gist, and I'll just shorten the long story down to real short, was to show you that I had this map way back then. We did have, and I prepared for you just a few copies of a few pages of what was in here. We had area representatives, and we also had board and other committee member assignments. Okay, and you've got a copy of that in here. But that was to give a little background on that. So what I would like to do is to, this one page on our contact information didn't give those, is it on our minutes where we have those areas of responsibility?
Yeah,
sorry,
the top agenda? Of the minutes.
Okay.
Or I mean, sorry, at top of the agenda.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
so dang many papers out here. Let me borrow your
one.
Okay, so you see the far right on this neighborhood, Crawford, Lower Slide, Broad Hollow, Upper Slide, Lower Ranch, Podunk, Middle Canyon. We have given general areas of responsibility pass those out to the ranch. In the past, that back in 2004, we also did this. We would have, for instance, Barry or Brad or whatever area, they would go to those areas and they know a lot of the members in those areas, and they would pick out an area rep from that area. You would still be the board man or in charge. Board person in charge, but the area rep would be kind of the coordinator from, like, if me and Crawford, if everybody up there wanted to get together and put in extra culverts or do projects or whatever, or if we had questions or proposals for the board, that was to be the funneling organizational thing to then go back to me or in your whatever your area is. And report to the board, and sometimes the board would participate in those projects or whatnot. So we had so many other things on the table. It was functioning for a couple of years, and then has fallen to the wayside to a degree, although we've still listed people. And so the homework I want to give, and Larry Clarkson has shown a great deal of interest in revamping or revising or the benefits of this whole system, which I think there's no question about. So I would like to assign everyone to come up with a committee member or a ranch area representative from your area by the next board meeting.
Can I make a comment?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, from what I gather from Larry, he's happy to help people get familiar with whoever the owners are in their area, and that's fine, and I support that 100%. The confusion is the areas that we're currently using on our board assignments are different than the map that was created by Vance and different than what was in year 2004. So the question is do we need to make, do we need to adopt a different map, so to speak, so that we have all the areas covered? According to what the email was that I got from him, that I understand is we've got all the areas covered on the old map except east and west Slide Canyon. And my area is covered twice because I'm under on Upper Slide Canyon, which he says under the old map is the same as Meadow Canyon, which John has. So, in order to clarify, do we use this list on your printout?
Well, my list does delineate all those different things. You know, although they even have three for slide, lower slide, west slide,
yeah,
east slide.
And that's why it's
Pipeline,
different.
Crawford East, Crawford West, Meadow Broad, Johnny Brown, Lower Ranch.
That's different than what we have on our meeting minutes. That would leave me without any area.
Well, I propose
I have a comment.
We'll work on it for next
time. And I'm happy to get a rep, and I'm interested in doing it. I just need to know what
I agree. I agree. We're not organized enough on our areas. I was assuming that we were. Go ahead.
I have a comment. Back to me, I spoke over you, I think.
Yes,
this is John. Okay. All righty. I read that thing too, that Barry and I were overlapping with the same area there. Well, something that isn't on there that I didn't notice is I did volunteer to take the PODOC because they didn't have a rep over there since Leland was no longer on the board. So I volunteered to take that. I can handle that if Barry wants to just go ahead and take the upper slide and in that area over to Meadow.
Well, I think what he was pointing out is that east and west slide, wherever they are, aren't covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I took east and west side slides, then that would cover all the areas on the old map, and we all just keep what we've got. And I'm okay. I don't have a particular area. My lot's in Pipeline Canyon, so that's covered by you, John, anyway. So.
Okay. All right. No problem.
Makes sense.
All right. I'll tell you what. Rather than try to thrash through this today, I'll look back at the old division. This is a copy of my colored map, and one of you might have to show me which is lower, west, or on.
I think he's working off your colored map, but that I don't know. And so if you if you want to look at your map and then just send out an assignment, if you want me to cover the empty spaces, I think we're done
okay
with that part. But I don't. That's just.
I'll do that. So the anticipated goal, though, is that it's really to stimulate more member involvement, more member input, and. So we'll table that for now and work on that next. So let's go back to our agenda and do our final. We didn't do the rules and regs.
Rules and regulations, I think, is the last thing to address.
So.
And I have a handout, if it's helpful.
I would like the handout, yeah.
I made one in color. I'll give that to you, Phil. It's not stapled, unfortunately. These are the red lines of all the changes, because I told you last meeting that I would consolidate all of the changes to the rules and regulations in one document. Jody and John, I think I sent this to you by email a few weeks ago, but I don't know if you have it in front of you.
I do.
I don't have my computer on, but...
Most of the changes to the rules and regulations can be approved or denied very quickly. I'm sure there are a few areas that are more contentious. And so what I tried to do is mark each of the changes and who suggested the change. And so I don't know if you guys just want to go through the document, and because the idea has come out of this meeting with a final approval so that we can put this thing to bed after a year and – well, a year and a half or so we've been working on it.
Well, I've made some notes on the changes I'd like to talk about as we go through. So, yeah, I went through the document
and did those notes.
Well, I think it's probably best if you just tell us the changes you want to discuss and that
yep.
everybody's had a chance to look at it, and we can just then adopt the other changes. A lot of them are really fairly insignificant as far as changes. I think we can all agree that we wanted to add most of the changes that have come in from each one of you. But let's Jody, if you want to go ahead and tell us what you want to discuss or what you think the issues are, then we can go from there.
Okay. The first one is about number one, and I wanted to make sure that Mariah was in this and understood this, because I know there was a lot of confusion about reservation fees and forfeiting the fees and having to redo the fees. So an item 1.0101, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth sentence, after the sixth sentence, the paragraph was cut off about making change to the original reservation up until, and that's cut out until the end of last sentence, which is in the event that 2 weeks of cabin times are booked. So, Mariah, are you looking at that section? Let's take it one section at a time. Are you in that? Are you okay with that? I know there's a whole bunch of confusion about it, so, and I guess this is maybe your input. I'm not really sure. I just want to make sure that Mariah is on the same page as this before we start taking out the fees.
I think that was actually a comment. I think that was Brad's suggestion that we delete the part. He expressed discomfort. There's a couple of parts that say if I am not there at the cabin 24 hours a day, that shouldn't be a problem. Maybe let Brad address what his concerns were.
Okay, well, let me ask the question first. Mariah, have you seen these changes? Are you aware of the changes?
I just don't think there's been anything added since mine, right?
No, yours was the last one.
Mine's the last one. Okay, so
is actually a printout of yours.
Of what I said. Okay. Yeah, so I did all of these. One of the biggest things that comes across my desk is confusion, and I feel like there's still some things we need to add. So example in 1.01.01, besides the $50 non-refundable reservation fee, our non-member guests pay a $75 non-refundable reservation fee, and that is not included in there. And so I think that's critical that we have both fees outlined. It's $50 for our members, $75 for our non-member guests. So that would be one important thing I would have added in there.
And that's it's out to the side where it says commented DSROA1. That's Mariah.
Oh, okay.
It says add a second paragraph to this section.
This,
it says.
So wherever there's a DSROA, wait a minute.
If there's a DSROA1, that's Mariah's comment.
Gotcha.
On adding something or deleting something.
Let me make a suggestion. I can see that this is going to take us a fair bit of time to go through this. It needs to be done. I think we should have our executive session now for just a minute, and then spend some time with Rick and Kelly and clarify things for her so they don't have to wait around here for too long, because I see this is a work process.
And do we want to even address this necessarily today? Because everybody had a chance to look at it.
I apologize if you emailed this to me. Did you in this very form?
Yeah, Mariah.
Right.
I sent mine out to everybody, but I don't know if it came through.
But
so
I don't remember seeing it. Yeah.
Okay.
It may be better for me to go back and resend this to everybody. This is what Mariah sent to me, and then I said, "Well, let's share it with the whole board." And it takes. It's not something we're going to be able to go through each line here in a meeting. We're going to have
yeah.
to, everybody's going to have to read it, and then come to the meeting prepared to discuss. Or to say, I'm fine with all these changes rather than have it in the meeting. So,
okay, and while we're doing that, if I just give out the sections that need to be looked at by Mariah, it will save her some time and the rest of the board members some time. The 1.01.01, the 1.02, 1.03, and 1.04. And then one thing that I would like to add in is 18.05, although it is redundant, I think in our situation, the more redundant we have, the better we're covered, so I would like to see it left in. And that's my only suggestions on this. Just want to make sure Mariah was up with all those other things, and then 1805.
I'd like to add to that, too, though. I do have other comments. They're not coming through as number one, though. I have my comment, DSR 026, is on there, too. So I'd like to be able to have some input all the way through to 1.09. That would be...
Why don't we take this? Why don't we take this after the meeting, well, on Monday, then I'll re-email this version to everybody, and then let's have a discussion by email, because your changes, and you may want to discuss with Jody some of those things, and to be honest with you, it'll go faster that way. So I make a motion that we table the rules and regulations for right now, and that we, between now and next meeting, have whatever discussions we need to, and review the documents so that we simplify the process.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Jody, John?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Then, so I will, we will, terminate, it's not the right word.
Adjourn.
We will adjourn our board meeting,
Next meeting.
Our next meeting will be April. Anybody got a calendar? Let's look at the second.
I've got a calendar here. Just give me 1 second.
April 8th.
To be up the ranch, I think.
Yeah, I would say maybe one more session here in St. George, or
to have it at my office if you want, or wherever.
It might be.
We go for the ranch. If it doesn't work, change it.
Should we think plan for the ranch and use
the... Want to go to the ranch, are you, Jody?
Yeah, I want to go to the ranch.
Should we make sure second off of the leaf, it can't be outside, and is that the garden cabin?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay, so let's do that then. I would actually prefer to have it here in St. George. I know Barry would.
I would, absolutely.
Ranch.
I'm not worried about getting muddy. I'm worried about going up there and freezing.
Yeah.
You want a vote?
I think I'll just make a selfish decision as president of the board where we're going to have it. It'll be here at Barry's office in April.
10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
In April? Where?
Thank you.
My office.
Really appreciate that.
Okay, so our March board meeting is adjourned.
Phil, are we coming back to the meeting, or are we adjourning the meeting for good?
Okay, hold on.
We're going back for an executive.
Okay.
We're going to have an executive session. Yeah.
All right.
And then are we coming back to the meeting, or are we adjourning the meeting for good? I have a correction in the February minutes I need to make.
You'll have to send us that, and it'll be added as an addendum, but they've already been approved, and we voted on it.
No, I know. I need to make a correction on this month's meeting on what I stated in the February meeting, so it will be in the March minutes. I can send it as an addendum. I don't care. I just need to make sure that I say it, because I was incorrect in what I said.
That's what you need to do, is send it in to be considered for putting it in an addendum.
And can it be put in the addendum if it wasn't spoken at the meeting?
As an opinion, if it's clearly stated.
Well, it's not an opinion. It's. I need to correct my statement.
For what it's worth, Billy, that's what you used to do. You just used to send them later, and we'd add them in. So whatever.
Okay, fine enough.
All right.
I want to make sure I'm following protocol.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that'll be protocol for you to send them to us. Okay.